to you people. It is the Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlanc's up for another day of broadcast insolence, and I don't want to talk about it.
No, you have to talk about it. Come on.
I missed you guys.
I missed you too. Missed you too, man.
Oh, we'd be coming back on better terms.
It's about time you guys are back.
I know. No. I'm like, where do I work again?
I know. For 2 weeks, it has been a very confusing.
Oh my God, very I'm in a confusing state. Past 2 weeks, yeah.
I forgot my login. I was like, wait a minute, what was my password again? Yeah.
There was traffic for the first time today.
Yeah, people are actually getting their lives back together.
I don't know about back together.
Yeah. It is
after what happened yesterday.
Yeah, but I expected. So yesterday, I had all the best of intentions.
Sure.
All the best of intentions. I got, I got up. I put on my Bears jersey. I put on long johns. I don't even know why, and I don't know why we call them long johns. Who was John?
Because if you've been to a lot of Bears games, you do it just in case.
Yes, and it wasn't even that cold yesterday.
It really wasn't.
I put them on, and I went with Alfie, our dear friend Alfie, from Apple Chevrolet.
Love Alfie,
and we're sitting there. And with a lot of man hugging, we went drinking beforehand, and then we go. Then we're at the game, and then
uh-oh.
There's man hugging there. There was man hugging at the drinking, and then there's the next thing you know, we're there, a bunch of guys, there's like eight of us, and we're just couldn't be more excited. I never for a second thought that this game was in doubt when they were driving back down the field at the end of the game. I'm like, all right, they're gonna win this thing, and that's when I ran toward the exit. And I stood there in the north end zone.
Uh-huh.
Like every other looky-loo with my phone up, like videotaping this. I wanted to see
the last few seconds, right when they all celebrated on the field. That part that never happened.
And then there was that. Do we have the sound in the stadium? All right, here we go.
Here it is.
I just can't even.
Chris Collingsworth called it a double doink.
As the basic girls say, I can't even.
I can't even. I can't even. See, losing that way and then losing to the Eagles, the worst fans in all of sports, by the way.
Trash.
And the people who threw snowballs at Santa Claus now have set up Venmo. Like, they're sending money to Cody Parkey on Venmo to thank him for losing the game.
Yeah, but it came so close. What are they being so excited about?
Let me say this about Cody Parkey, okay? Let's not all be idiots. Let's not ruin his life like we've done with other people in this town. Okay? But let's also not forget the season he had. Okay, you can feel bad for him, but that doesn't dismiss the fact that he only made 76% of his kicks this season. That matters. That has to be factored in this offseason when Ryan Pace makes roster decisions.
He was responsible for
Miami?
Two losses that last, he could have won with a field goal.
Yes.
Ended a game with a field goal.
Now, they did rule it a block, but
I don't care.
I know.
I don't care.
Put some air under it.
Hold on a second.
But is it his fault or who kept putting him out there?
I'm not putting all the blame on
it. No, but it's who kept putting him out there?
Well, they had a choice.
What are you going to throw a Hail Mary there?
You only get one kicker.
People were comparing it to, this is like going back to the cheating girlfriend or boyfriend for the 10th time. Like, no, it'll be fine this time.
No, he's got
it. It'll totally be fine. Cody, get back out there. It'll totally be fine.
He practiced late night.
Nope, he cheats again.
He practiced at Soldier Field late at night. We saw the aerial footage of that.
Yes,
with the help of the Illinois State Police. Did you see that? there was the Bears. There was a question about whether or not the Bears paid back the Illinois State Police for the special assist that the Illinois State Police would give Cody driving down from Lake Forest down to Soldier Field.
That was important stuff.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'd be all for it. As a taxpayer, I'm all for it. If somehow that had worked, I'd be okay with it. But it didn't. I mean, I don't even... Exactly. It's so basic to say this, but I will say it nonetheless. I can't even.
I just can't. You know what? I will say this. I know you guys hate the gloom and doomy weather and all this. I woke up today and said, thank God it's raining and dark. I do not want to see the sun for like a week. I'm so depressed right now. This is the exact weather I need. I need to be depressed and deal with this.
You're depressed? You should have heard what it sounded like on Spanish language radio.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló.
Oh.
No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. 5 se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Filadelfia gana el partido. Le dio al poste.
I completely agree.
Ay, papá.
Yeah, was there a papa? I don't
that, think obviously
no,
is the Philadelphia Eagles Spanish language broadcast.
There was some cursing in there, I think, or something. I don't know.
The guy at some point was fire, fire. That's exactly what I wanted to say too.
I think so.
Fire.
There was more than that said, I'm sure, in the stadium where you were, Ralph.
I could not get out of bed this morning, and I couldn't sleep last night either.
Oh, I couldn't sleep last night either.
I was staring at the ceiling.
It's like, did that really happen?
Even this Packers fan felt really bad for you guys, I have to say. I mean, really, my heart broke.
No, it didn't, Kim.
Yes,
you
it did.
Loved it.
Honestly, I have the Bears going yesterday in my confidence pool. I had them as my highest confidence team.
I think a lot of people did. Look, I think the Bears, I don't even want to do that.
Well, don't you think the Rams and the Saints are pretty pleased that they don't have to face this defense
absolutely.
Now? They're like, they're the ones that are
I think the
thrilled.
Bears beat the Rams next week if they win.
I think you're right.
Stop.
Okay.
We're now going to, stop. I don't know what else to say.
It's so depressing.
Can I hear the Spanish language thing just one more time?
Yeah, that one sort of cheers you up in a weird way.
Oh, God. I think he is swearing here.
Does the FCC monitor Spanish broadcasts?
No, senor. Trump's not paying for interpreters for the FCC.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. ¡No! ¡Falló! ¡Oh! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Los Eagles se van con la victoria! ¡Ay, papá! ¡Chicago! ¡Chicago! ¡Nos vamos para New Orleans! ¡Filadelfia gana el partido! ¡Le dio al poste!
Just sick to my stomach.
After that, I want to build a wall. That's what I want to do. That's it. All right, finally. It took this one
That's
moment.
The tipping point.
For me to go over with Trump on this
damn Spanish broadcasters in Philly. Build the wall.
Do you know, I saw Sarah Sanders say this yesterday, that 6,000 Spanish broadcasters come into this country illegally every minute. Did you know that?
Oh, God.
Oh, God is right. Oh, God. All right. Okay.
No, señor.
No, señor.
No, señor. No, señor.
Papa.
Hi, Papa. Cody Parkey. Post day and the snap. We understood some of the words. Less snap.
And yardos. I didn't know that you could just put an OS on the end of everything.
That's how I speak Spanish.
And you speak Spanish.
Footballos.
Somehow they don't understand you, though, when you just do that. But it turns out.
It's tres yardos.
Cuarenta tres yardos.
The Cody Parkey.
Dakota Parkey.
Got that one. We knew what they were talking about.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. Yeah. Fire! As soon as he hit it, goes, fire! Which
that,
is exactly...
Like a swear.
Yeah. It's or yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Kim, can you get us out of this and tell us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour in the WGN newsroom?
Well, President Trump is going to give a primetime speech tomorrow night on that border wall.
Oh, for God.
No, señor! Los hijos se van!
It's going to be useful today, that little drop. I get the sense.
Hey, Kevin, at least he's got you laughing again.
I know.
Anytime the president says anything, that could be a response.
Got a lot
Los hijos se van con la victoria.
Oh, Violetta.
Oh, God.
Get Real in the Morning with Larry Potash, Robin Baumgarten, Paul Conrad, and the entire WGN-TV Morning News team. It's all weekdays, 4 to 10 on WGN-TV.
All right, kids. What could possibly go wrong? Ben Bradley is here. Nothing ever goes wrong with Ben.
What an introduction. Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome, Ben.
Ben, did I see you tailgating yesterday?
I was tailgating
I thought
yesterday.
I saw you yesterday. Yes. I didn't want to bother you, though.
Well, You mean in person or on social media?
No, in person. I was on the Waldron deck. Weren't you on the Waldron deck? Yeah. So
why didn't you say hi?
I don't know. You looked like you're having a good time. I was working, so I wasn't really having fun. I was just kind of lingering with people.
Yeah, right. He was working at a tailgate, because I know that's a lot. Not since Anna DeVlasis was paid to get a tailgate. Has anybody worked at a tailgate?
Checking out the crowd.
How about when Violetta finds a fake Ben Bradley at a party, a fest? And then she goes after him, but Kevin's like, no, I want to leave him alone.
I don't want to bother him.
You have a lot of lookalikes at 2 a.m. after I've had a couple drinks.
This was the actual you, turns out.
There was an actual sighting, and I was in the actual game, and I can tell you it got so quiet after Cody Parkey missed that field goal that you could literally shout across the field, like, you know, if you saw a friend on the other side of the field, hey, Joe!
Grab me a beer before we go. Yeah,
you would have heard
all of them.
You would have heard it. It was crazy.
I don't want to talk about it, Ben.
Okay.
I just don't want to talk about it. We've already played the Spanish language Eagles broadcast.
That was the best.
No, senor.
Leave it to you to find something to laugh about.
Do you know the name of that guy? You know the name of that guy?
No. What's
his
name?
This guy?
No, senor! No, senor! Papa!
His name is Ricky Ricardo.
No.
Yeah. For real.
Really?
Yeah.
And he's married to Lucy.
Yeah. How about that?
Lucy.
Okay. All right. Listen, this is exactly the kind of comedy they're doing over in the West Wing right now. Let's talk about what's happening in the news.
Yes. So Ed Burke has an hour and a half left as your finance committee chairman. We got a hold of his resignation letter, and it is dated effective 5 p.m. today. It was quick, just one a sentence or two. Signed, yours truly, Edward M. Burke. Mm-hmm. So we got to wondering why he still has his security detail, because you may remember a certain aspiring mayor by the name of Rahm Emanuel back in 2011 saying that he would pull Burke's security detail. And a certain police superintendent named Gary McCarthy saying it had been done. But, of course, as the scrutiny has returned, Ed Burke, we see, including video we're playing now for you on CLTV, lo and behold, this morning, outside of Mr. Burke's home, he's getting into a police vehicle driven by somebody who appears to be a police officer. So we started digging into that today and learned some interesting stuff. So after the mayoral campaign finished in 2011 and Rahm Emanuel had said that Burke would be stripped of his bodyguards, turns out there was a deal made in which they were recategorized. They were given a special designation called Special Police and paid for out of the Finance Committee's department, not out of the police department. But we noticed today they're driving a police vehicle. And when we contacted the Chicago Police Department about it, they said, oh, yeah, we're trying to get that car back.
Doesn't seem right.
Yeah, so we're going to have much more on that for you today
at
4 o'clock.
Hell no, senor!
No, senor!
No, senor!
Hi, Papa!
No, senor! Hi, Papa!
It's so interesting how they parse this, right? As though we were all supposed to cheer that, you know, he no longer had police protection and those officers were being returned to the street. In reality, taxpayers have been paying to protect this guy for nearly 8 years after most people thought he had lost his security protection.
We all had thought that. That's true. And the workers' comp program also going to come under further scrutiny. No longer under his control. $100 million a year program was under the Finance Committee control.
I'd say cop to whatever they have on them right now and go, I'm going to take this for all future, past and future offenses. Thank you. Good night. This is the way I would do with this.
Good idea.
It's best. Whatever. Can we just do this and move along? Thank you very much. That's actually a police vehicle. That's right there.
Sounds like it.
All right, Ben, we'll see you at 4, 5, 6, 9, 10, and 12.
Sounds good.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Let's check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News right now.
How serious is he about that? Is he really prepared to go off on his own and use money that was authorized for military construction and build a wall instead?
The president is prepared to do what it takes to protect our borders, to protect the people of this country. He knows that the number one job he has as president and commander-in-chief is to protect its citizens.
Reuters saying just in, Vice President Pence is now talking with the White House counsel's office, looking into that legality, whether the president can declare a national emergency over the border wall and move funds into that area.
A.B. Stoddard is here to scream like the Spanish language broadcaster during the Bears-Eagles game yesterday.
Let's hear a no, senor.
Yeah, this is what the guy sounded like when the Bears missed the game-winning field goal.
No, senor! No, senor! Hey, Papa!
Yeah, that's our guy. That
was all of us, actually, but not in the same language.
That's the same reaction that the president of Mexico had to the fact that our president's going to be having a speech tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Chicago time. I want to ask, you wrote something really, not only really insightful, but also very funny today. What is this publication that you wrote this for? Because I don't know these guys.
Okay, so the Bulwark is
the Bulwark
has existed before, but it sort of relaunched today with to sort of grow and expand and light more fires with a whole bunch of people who left the Weekly Standard, who are good people and talented people, and they're looking for some help. So I posted for their launch day, and I'm gonna, you know, do some pieces for them here and there, but look to them to, you know, just try, like the Weekly Standard did. The tagline is "The Bulwark Conservatism Conserved," and they're looking to kind of challenge the idea that conservatism, you know, has disappeared and given way to Trumpism only, and that there can't be a revival.
Because the Weekly Standard has now moved over to Trumpism, and that's created a kind of a stir in the media community in Washington. All right, so the point you make in this, and I think this is a good one, was when the president was in his, when he was making his speech, was it on Friday? These days are all running together for me now.
He holds a lot of television shows these days.
Yes, he does. He was standing out there, and you had Kevin McCarthy, who at one point thought he was going to be the next Speaker of the House of Representatives from California, the congressman, Republican congressman. Great haircut. And he was standing there, and for like an hour, however long it took for the president outside to be giving his, you know, his presentation that day, he stood there, as you point out, like a statue, with a forced smile on his face, and not everybody does a full Pence. They've all like studied tape of Pence to figure out how to do this,
right?
And you kind of nod your head a little bit, and you get an earnest look at you, and then you laugh, or he's trying to make a joke, even if it's totally inappropriate to laugh. And the thing is that he's saying things. The president was saying things that were provably false, and also not even the doctrine that these guys, the Republicans, we were standing for 12 hours earlier. He's changed his mind on it, and they're nodding along, and you call them, and I think it's a perfect way of putting this, is that no tomorrow Republicans, which means doesn't matter, we're just going to get through today, and we're going to do whatever this is today, and the future doesn't matter.
Hmm. Right, I just think that looking back, I mean, it's hard to believe that it is the only, that today is the 7th of January, and all that's happened since the new year started. If you think about how long ago it seemed that Trump sat there in the Roosevelt Room or wherever he was with his, you know, his acting cabinet meeting, that was last Wednesday only. And it was January 2nd, and he was trashing outgoing Defense Secretary James Mattis and lying that he fired him effectively, which is not true. And then he went into this really crazy stuff about Afghanistan being a justified defensive act, the invasion of Afghanistan by the Soviets in 1979 because there were terrorists coming into Russia. And forget what he's done on the government shutdown and the wall and the 18 positions he's taken just last week alone on whether the wall is actually being built. Mexico has already paid for it, even though the new NAFTA hasn't been approved by Congress. And all of this stuff he's gone into, former presidents are telling him, all of whom, of course, have denied this, that they wish they had built a wall. All of this stuff, Republicans, just get through the day and believe they will never pay a price for remaining silent on. And I think that the Afghanistan comments, I mean, I'm stunned that I was even the first to write this, that I've seen, that we have seen absolute silence on the president either towing Putin's line on purpose, because Putin's the only one who looks at the invasion of Afghanistan through that lens, or he just didn't know what he was talking about, which to Republicans seems to be no problem in terms of him making future national security decisions. So I just find they behave when they refuse to acknowledge something like his Afghanistan propaganda comments. They refuse to acknowledge that there is a tomorrow and that someday they will have there will be consequences for pretending that this wasn't happening.
Yeah, I think we're going to look back on this period in the not too distant future, but certainly in the future, and we're going to look back and stop and think, oh my God, what were they thinking? And it isn't really even about the voters anymore, because the voters will have their say in another year and 9 months or 8 months, whatever it's going to be, but 10 months. But there is after that. You know, voters have another do-over here potentially, and maybe not. You know, maybe America has made this turn, and this is the kind of governance we want. I don't think that's the case. I think it's going to be a long, hard slog for the president, because he's got so much now that he's got to explain away, not just to his base, because his base will not be enough this time. It took his base, right, plus all of these, especially female suburban voters who didn't like Hillary. They're skin crawled. And if there is an option in the primary, even, I mean, I would be worried if I were Donald Trump. But if there is an option that is, you know, a centrist kind of Democrat, which is what you're going to have. Yeah, I've noticed. Let's talk about the Democrats and how messed up they are. You got literally. The Ocasio-Cortez, the young woman who's elected to Congress, right, from Queens, New York.
Yeah.
She, running around talking about a 70% incremental income tax on rich people. And then you've got Julian Castro, the guy from, it was one of the Castro brothers, from we have to call them. There's two brothers down in San Antonio, who said, maybe we should be looking at that. I mean, this is a certain way to ensure that Donald Trump gets reelected by Democrats playing it, you know, dumb, super far left stuff. And that's exactly what Putin wants. We have to, stop and go WWVD. What would Vladimir do? And once we are done with what Vladimir would do, we go the other way.
Yeah.
Right. And as America.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I have to confess, I saw Vice over the weekend, and the acting is truly wonderful. I mean, across the board, and there's, much to be, to be curious and amused by, but I did actually leave before the end. I haven't done that in many, many years. But on the night of the 2000 election, when it's, Al Gore is recanting his concession speech, someone in the room says, they're in the hotel room watching the returns, and someone says, the Russians are loving this. And it was so fascinating to think about what the Russians, all along have wanted to happen to us, what they wish for us, and just looking just across the board at every level, the idea of not only just that our government is literally shut down. Forget the fact that, we're having all these tariffs anxiety and what if we're having an economic downturn, and, everyone's focused on Ocasio-Cortez's videos and all the fighting that everyone does about Trump, but that we are in week three of a completely kind of fake government shutdown standoff over a fake emergency, and that the president could declare a state of emergency and it could be challenged in the courts. I mean, it really is. It's an adversary's dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stop. I think we should just stop and think about that for a second. Let's just stop and cogitate on that. When I'm not, let me tell you something. I feel better about this than I do about the Bears loss. That is how crazy this is right now. That's how I'm. I know. It's very parochial of me, but I am that way. All right. So let's look forward here. The word that has not been on the breath of many Americans in the last couple of weeks is Mueller. And aren't we supposed to be hearing? We hear news organizations and others in Washington gearing up for some sort of a series of announcements in the next week, two, or three, right? I mean, that seems to be the conventional wisdom here. Why so quiet, Batman?
So I am still in my I have no sources, but it's just my hunch camp that the news from late last week that the grand jury had to be extended, combined with the fact that Roger Stone and Jeremy Corsi haven't been indicted, and there's likely that our intelligence is now still, as Andrew McCarthy pointed out in National Review, likely probing the president's comments about the invasion of Afghanistan last Wednesday. I have a feeling things are ongoing. I have a feeling that that our intelligence community is looking into the fact that, you know, when President Erdogan calls President Trump, who has been actively involved in this whole, you know, situation with Saudi Arabia, he says, okay, you're going to assault the Kurds, I'll get out of Syria. And our entire government has to bring its full force to bear to try to stop this. James Mattis has now resigned, and it looks like we have a policy change because it was such a wrong-headed decision. So I think there are many things that are being probed right now that are ongoing in the presidency, and I do not think that Robert Mueller's report is coming in a few weeks. I'm happy to be wrong. I thought Nancy Pelosi couldn't be elected speaker again because more than 30 people were on the record saying they would never support her. But she is a masterful mob boss, and she melted her opposition away somehow. So maybe Mueller is going to come out with a report next week, and I'm wrong, but I still think there's more to come.
It'll be in 2 weeks. Do you think you're going to get a tell-all book from Mattis or from Kelly or any of the people that America respected that were in the cabinet?
You know, I really don't know what they'll feel the need to relay later. We know all of it from the anonymous op-ed. We know all of it from Woodward's book. What I really hope is that John Kelly, General Kelly and General Mattis are talking to Republicans in Congress who we started the conversation talking about, and they're not just average voters, and they actually are supposed to be a separate and co-equal branch of government, and we're counting on them to clean up any mess that the executive branch makes in either party, and they're not doing their job. So I hope they're talking. I hope those retired administration officials are talking to the Congress about what's going on.
Amy Stoddard, you can read her piece at thebulwark.com, B-U-L-W-A-R-K, by the way. You know, it's hard to, I didn't even know how to spell it until I saw it in print today. Thebulwark.com. Or, you know, always Real Clear Politics. She's an associate editor and columnist there. So thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks, AB.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Okay. Let's check in now. We've got Kim Gordon. She's in the WGN newsroom. I'm sure there's some. I'm almost afraid to ask what's going on in the newsroom.
This is not bad.
All right.
Despite the shutdown, the IRS may be issuing refund checks.
Oh!
So there's some good news for you.
Not as lucky on the roads.
Your turn.
Are we still not mentioning it?
Nope.
Okay. How are we not going to mention it when Ed Obradovich joins us later in the show?
I'm sorry, what?
How do we not mention it when OB joins us later in the 4 o'clock hour?
No, senor! No, senor! Hey, papa!
Maybe that was OB.
I think you would have felt the room shake with OB. A lot of table pounding.
That's the Spanish language translation of OB on secondary audio and your SAP. That's what it sounded like. Okay.
Yeah. Are you guys doing okay?
Nope.
No. Not at all.
Mm-mm. No, no.
Nope.
No.
I'm never getting over this, period.
It's hit you really hard. It's hit me hard, too, because, gosh.
It's one of the worst losses of my life.
Can't we just stay optimistic about the future?
No. It's not even like the sports like devastation. This is like one of the worst moments of my life, period.
It's been a pretty good life, Kev. That's all I'm going to say. But
charmed life, Kevin's lived.
Right.
I just love this team too much.
Yeah, I know. But you're going to have to separate yourself.
No, I can't.
You're just going to have to do it because it's all over now. Because this was a charmed season.
Oh, it was.
It was. This is the worst pep talk ever. It's all over now.
Right. There's no chance that we're going to have another season like this.
Because
they had, well.
That's not true. This is a young team with a lot of talent, and a lot of the major players are all locked in for years.
That's true.
We're good.
Injuries are always the issue.
Yeah, even Cody Parkey's locked in. Thanks, Kim.
Actually, it's not. They can release him.
They just have to pay him. But won't it be a lot of money?
I thought they got guaranteed cash for them next year. Book it. Right
$3 million. $5 million this year. Yes. 5.5. So he got that for what he did.
I mean, if they cut him, they're going to eat some cash for sure. Be a cap hit.
And then Robbie Gould becomes available with the 49ers at some point in the near future.
He's available now, right?
He's just going to keep showing up at the games.
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, guys.
Anybody need to hold up a sign?
Yeah, remember me? 95 percentile or percentage of kicks?
He doesn't even need a sign.
Oh, can you imagine if it's Robbie? See, the problem with Robbie Gould is not a great kickoff guy. Because that was the knock on him. He's a good field goal guy, but he wasn't kicking it deep enough. But now that they've got, you know, that the people don't want to run the ball back, period. So it doesn't matter.
He's an all-time scorer for the franchise.
Yeah, I know.
And he's extremely accurate.
He's not coming back.
I know.
What? What's you see? See, now I was the one trying to depress you. Now you're depressing
me. I know.
Me.
It all came around. Took an ugly turn. And it didn't need to. Because it was already
ugly.
The core
is back next year.
Okay. All right. I got to go.
All right.
We've got Kim Gordon coming up with the headlines from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes. That's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Paul Vallis was out with a broom today for a news conference saying you need a clean sweep of all candidates backed by Ed Burke.
Uh-oh.
Sweep them out.
Uh-oh.
Did he really have a broom?
He had a broom.
That's a little much.
Yeah. It's on the nose. It is.
But the sun's coming out.
Yeah. Yeah. We are fully in the system now. We're fully in the cycle, the election cycle for the mayor's race here. Mm-hmm. There are 425 elected candidates.
At last count.
Named candidates sure at this were. Point. But there are some, you know, at the very top of the heap here. There are people whose, you know, names are recognizable and that you've heard about and that are going to be, I think, in this race when it comes to Election Day. Many will not. At least half of the people who are in now, I think, will not be. But you know, you got your top names.
You do?
Everybody, you know, can recognize, mm-hmm. right? You got your Dailies, your Chicos, your McCarthys, for example. Gary McCarthy is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And, Superintendent, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And,
how are you? My pleasure.
It's just another day at the office. All right, so Ed Burke and what happened to him last week. How does that, as a guy who wants to be mayor of the city of Chicago, what would you do? Have you thought about things you would want to change as mayor in terms of how the finance committee operates or the power of aldermen? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, so I think that the whole issue comes down to a culture of illegitimacy that really just plays into the fabric of this city over and over again. And that culture has to change. And the way to change that is from the top down. And, you know, I had a friend, a guy who I'm doing some business with, who had never been to Chicago, who came to Chicago about 6 months ago to do some business with me. And he was here less than 24 hours. And he said to me, you know what, Gary? He said, this place is all about the hustle. I said, absolutely. Very perceptive on your part. You know, it goes back to, we don't want nobody who nobody knows. It goes back to the Chicago way. We shrug our shoulders and we accept it. Well, it starts with intolerance of those behaviors. And, you know, people say, oh, look, another alderman. I think this is about the 35th alderman since 1972 who's either been arrested, indicted, charged, put in jail, whatever the case might be. And there's only been about 100 serving aldermen.
It's about a third since that time period that have had some sort of corruption indictment.
I think conviction, and that's the thing, is that I'm still waiting. I think we're at 26 now in terms of overturn. And in my career, I want to get to all 50 before it's said and done. Another one of your opponents said, Bill Daley was suggesting that maybe we should go to fewer aldermen. What do you think about that?
Cut it in half.
Oh, so he could consolidate his power. Let's not forget that, you know, the Daley family was in power here for 43 years and helped create this culture. Well, I mean, let's get serious.
Okay, let me ask you this, though.
Let me give you this. People are talking about a consent decree for the police department. How about judicial oversight for the city council? How about something like that?
Why, that because, sounds really good, especially with the, you now see the $100 million workers' comp fund being moved away from the Finance Committee after years being under the control of Ed Burke, because it didn't have the same Inspector General oversight, and that always seemed a bit fishy to a lot of folks, that that amount of money would be, wouldn't have any sort of scrutiny at a higher level.
And, you know, if we're going to get this done, we can't go with the same old people. I mean, really, people who are the part of the fabric, who came up through the system, who've been here for years and years and years. And here's a case where I'm going to say something that, that doesn't sound logical here in Chicago because of how parochial we are, is that at this point, I think it's serving me well to not be from Chicago originally because I'm beholden to nobody except my family.
Well, that is an interesting point, because I think there are a lot of guys who've come up through the system who, you know, after in the system for more than 6 minutes, you've already, but I think the average time on job before you hand over something that the feds will eventually want is about 6 minutes once you get to City Hall. Alderman specifically. And Alderman, and this is the funny thing about Alderman, I mean, you know, people who are business owners in the city of Chicago know this. And you know, a lot of residents do too, but the reality is, for business owners, aldermen can make or break you. If an alderman doesn't like you, they are going to make it almost impossible for you to start a business. If you want to put up a sandwich shop or a hot dog stand or a franchise of some sort, and you're just a guy who's just trying to make a buck, or you know, the real estate people, they'll tell you all day long that they got to kiss the keisters of the alderman to get exactly what they want. And what Ed Burke has been accused of here is not an any way, I mean, the funny thing is, in Chicago, to your point, Gary, in Chicago, it's considered the Chicago way. It's not considered to be illegal to say, hey, listen, if you need the alderman to say it's okay for you to start your business here, which they have to do. They get you the zoning, they get you everything to start your business, you're going to have to hire the guy as a lawyer. And they go, oh, okay, well, that's what it is. Well, that's illegal!
Right.
Yeah. And as is pay to play. Just with
exactly
the campaign donations that our soon-to-be former mayor was racking up from business developers after they made campaign donations. They had contracts the next day. Mm-hmm. They had clearances to get the variances, to get the things that they needed.
Okay,
so here's a case where this entire culture has to change. The aldermen have way too much power. And there needs to be an internal investigation within City Hall that really roots out this whole bad tree, if you will. The roots are there.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because when you came to Chicago, when you came in, again, you're coming in, you came in from Newark, New Jersey, in your last port of call, but through the New York City Police Department, and you get in here and you lay eyes on this as it's all starting. And what was the thing, in terms of that kind of city politics, what was the thing that surprised you the most, or that you thought to yourself, oh, this is going to be a problem?
That everything was done with a wink and a nod, and the way you get things done is because you got a guy. Not because it's something that should be done. There was always a quid pro quo that somebody was looking for, which, quite frankly, I can tell you this absolutely, positively true, is that this city has welcomed me with open arms, except for the politicians. Except for the politicians, because that's not the way that I came up. I have morals. I have scruples. I have something that I consider legitimacy that a lot of people around here don't have. And because of that, I didn't play their games. They didn't like it.
So Channel 9 is running the story today. I know that you guys released a statement about it, about how Burke has been riding around in a City of Chicago police car. And then eventually that car and that officer who has been driving him was assigned over to the finance. It was taken off the budget line of the Chicago Police Department and placed on the finance department's, his finance committee's payroll instead.
Right.
And I'm paraphrasing here, but the statement that you made, which was, you know, this kind of all happened outside of your purview. Were you aware of it? And what do you think of that kind of politics? I mean, that's what I'm getting at here, is when you saw stuff like that and you're like, well, there's nothing I can do about it. And littler things like that tend not to jump to people's attention. But it's a crazy way of doing business.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, bro. And that's what I thought back then. And this came down to a deal between the mayor and Ed Burke, because, you know, here's two very powerful people who kind of went at it. And I got stuck in the middle of it. It was taken out of my purview because there was some legal document, and I forget what it was, that gave him a security detail back in the day And the deal was worked out in City Hall. And, you know, I just, okay, fine, get it away from me. I don't need it anyway. They were retired police officers now. Back then, I think they were on-duty police officers, like you're saying, though.
Yeah. Tony Preckwinkle, one of the top mayoral candidates as well as yourself, is saying she's giving back, she announced this afternoon, all $116,000 she received from that private fundraiser at Burke's house. She said it was her relationship with Ann Burke that brought that about, but she said just for the, you know, just to, I'm returning all of it, so no one asked any more questions about it, and I can't be held responsible for all of his activities that I knew nothing about, and I feel as if he should be held accountable for. Do you think that that's true, that you and all candidates should be held accountable for your donors' activities, whether or not you're
aware of it? Well, certainly I am. I'm accountable because every time people donate to me, they get a background check through the Tribune or the Sun-Times, and people are saying, look, you know, I got a parking ticket back in 1974. I don't want to get dragged through the mud again. But here's my response to that, Anna, and it's incomprehensible to me that people can think they could get away with saying, okay, I'm going to give back the money. So if you do a bank robbery and you give the money back, does that make it okay?
You know, I don't think it was illegal for her to accept it in the first place. She's saying some of these people there had nothing to do with Burke. They were at her house, and they were making a contribution to her.
Yeah, no, and that's certainly going to be the case in some cases. But the connections between Preckwinkle, Burke, Madigan, Daly, and Mendoza are going on and on and on. It's being written about over and over again. There was a good article today in Patch.com by Mark Conkle talking about the connections with the money, talking about jobs being given out to family members, which the question is whether or not there are actually no-show jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, and this is not unique to Chicago, right? I mean, there's no-show jobs, no-work jobs, things like that. You see that all over the place. But
I got to tell you, Ro, in 30 years before I came here, I never saw it. I didn't see it in New York, and I didn't see it in Newark, believe it or not.
Now, that I don't believe, because I remember The Sopranos. They always had that.
That's not what they showed.
I remember his mom
was in Newark. I saw that show, too.
Yeah, that's where I learned. No show, no work. Yeah.
That's not right.
But this is a town that, I mean, obviously, you know, there's part of the romance of it. I mean, that's one of the issues we have with gang violence, too. We're like, you know, we're tough, and people get killed all the time. We're like, hey, doesn't that make Chicago tough and cool? It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
It makes it a moral travesty is
what it
makes.
You have the two crime problems. You have the violent crime problem, and you have the political crime problem. And I think both of those tend to make it harder and harder on taxpayers and harder to attract businesses. And I think if you follow places like Crane Chicago Business lately, you realize that Amazon did consider a lot of those those factors in its decision. Not that we would have gotten it, but those are considerations.
And they're absolutely related, Anna. And I said this, I gave a City Club speech a couple of weeks ago where I talked about how to reduce crime. And I said, there's four steps that we've got to take. And the very first one was that we have to have legitimacy in city government. You can't have legitimacy in policing if it's under an illegitimate government, which is what we have now. If you don't like the law, you change the law for one day so you can appoint whoever you want. If you don't like the law, then you go with the Chicago way of quid pro quo. You can't do business like this and expect, you know, do as I say, not as I do. The number one thing we have to do is get rid of that whole method of doing business. Bring business management to City Hall if we're going to turn this city around.
All right. Gary McCarthy wants to be mayor of the city of Chicago. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, always Gary. A pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right. Gary McCarthy. Right now, Kim Gordon does not want to be mayor of the city of Chicago.
But I'll tell you, a rally in Springfield today opposing an increase in the gas tax.
Yeah.
Watch for Chicago's very own stories with Micah and Joe. Micah Mater, Joe Donlan, weeknights on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
Got Hawks tickets coming up at 4:40, after 4:40.
No Hawks.
A little after 4:40. Mm-hmm. Can't tell you exactly the time, because that would ruin it.
Yeah, it's got to be a little bit of a surprise.
These are tickets to see the Hawks take on the Preds. On Wednesday, we're going to be at the game on Wednesday. We're there. We're doing our little pregame kind of thingy deal.
Yep, we love that.
Yep, we should have the mayoral candidates come out and try to skate.
Yeah, start eliminating them.
Right,
based on their
skating
a hockey
skills.
Fight.
Yeah,
fight it out on the ice.
I think McCarthy wins it though. I think he plays hockey.
Yeah. Oh,
McCarthy's
yep.
winning that. For
yeah.
Sure.
All yeah. right, so maybe we got to
come up with something else.
Yeah,
a little more fair.
Maybe like a Zamboni race.
Intermission entertainment.
Shoot the puck. Oh, that's what we do.
Oh, that's
we
perfect.
We do a shoot the puck where they all have to come out and try it.
And then drop the gloves and duke it out.
Yep.
That's what I want.
Are you ready to fight, Kevin?
I'm ready to go.
Kevin is ready to fight.
I am.
Kevin's in a very, very bad mood.
I've got all sorts of emotions right now.
I like the text where it told Kevin, you will remember this and feel this way every time you think about this game for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I will.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's true, though. Yeah. It's true.
I will. Thanks for reminding me. I'm telling you, I'll never get over it. There's certain losses in my life I've never gotten over.
What else?
Well, Illinois State National Championship. Okay. I went down to Frisco, Texas. Yes, Carson Wentz.
Pete Wentz was in that game.
he was the halftime performance. Him and the Fallout Boy.
So Carson Wentz, who by the way couldn't make the game. So who? Let's see, Nick Foles,
who wasn't even good yesterday. He wasn't even good yesterday. He was just throwing balls in the air, and somehow they were catching it.
He was under pressure, though, wasn't he? I mean, he just
I'm not gonna make excuses for him. We don't make excuses for Mitch. Nick Foles wasn't good yesterday. Mitch outplayed Foles yesterday. Yes, he made that huge play on the goal line, but should have won that game.
They only had 10 players, 10 men on the field in the defense there. Do you realize that for that touchdown?
On the goal line?
Yeah.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's talking about the sequence where Adrian Amos had the late hit, then there was too many men on the field, and then Amukamara had the pass interference, and that led to a touchdown in the third quarter. Very un-Bears-like this year.
Give him credit, though. He did say that when he was asked about Cody Parkey. He said, man, if I hadn't done that, then things might have been different, so we're not blaming him. And you see a lot of people stepping up, you know, pro athletes. You saw Kobe Bryant, everybody is like stepping up to say, hey, you know, protect Parkey. Look, you don't realize how hard this is to do. I think as fans, we all say, wow, they're getting paid millions of dollars to come through for us at exactly these moments.
I mean, the Bears locker room was completely united yesterday after the game.
Yeah,
I mean,
they all said the right thing. And that's good.
Well, and most of those guys are going to be back together next year.
Right.
Which is good. I mean, this is the core of this is good. And Ed Obradovich is going to join us coming up in just a few minutes at 4:40.
Yep.
And, you know, he will make this point, which is, because I've heard him make it already in the last 24 hours, which is, you know, these are very tough windows. Once you're in this window, you got to take advantage of it. And because you don't know what the injury situation is going to be like next year. That's the one intangible in all of sports.
Did he say it that calmly?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, exactly. He said it like the Spanish language broadcaster from the Philadelphia Eagles.
No, señor! No, señor! Hey, papa!
Papa!
All right.
Are we sure that guy's okay?
No, he's not. Kim Gordon's okay, though. She's got the WGN news right now.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Oh. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Philadelphia gana el partido. Le dio el poste.
I kid you not, that man's name is Ricky Ricardo.
Perfect.
And he is the Spanish language voice of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Tell me we added the music.
No, they play that during the entire...
I'm like, come on.
That's what it sounds like.
No, señor!
That is exactly how Sarah Sanders hears it. Right. That's how that goes. All right, listen.
Beautiful.
Listen. Don't just take it from me. Take it from our friend, our esteemed colleague, and a man who I have been a fan of from when he was on the gridiron to when he was on the radio. He's one of the great spirits in the history of the Chicago Bears organization, Ed Obradovich. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction, OB, when the double doink occurred?
Well, naturally, it's like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that's the first thing that came to my mind. You know, not again, but I've watched this kid kick all year, Ro. And what happens when he kicks field goals, you can go back and take a look. Kevin, go back and get the films. Every field goal, every extra point he kicked, it would fade to the right. Fade to the right. Then when he started hitting the upright on the right-hand side goalpost, then they went down to Soldier Field and he, you know, made some adjustments. And he came back, and what he did, he was like pulling it to left. In other words, hooking it a little more. That's what I saw what happened. And lo and behold, what did he do? He hooked it. Now they say, apparently, that it was, they're calling it a blocked field goal. Well, you can call it any way you want. You know, fact of the matter was, he didn't make it. It's a damn shame. You get this far, you're at home, and boy, it just doesn't work for you. The Eagles wouldn't go away, no matter what we did. and it was a hell of a game, but you know, we didn't make it, and the crime of this whole thing, and these kids may soon come to find out, which I hope they don't. It's tough to get there, and it's tough to get into the playoffs. It's even tougher to get to the Super Bowl. You have the 85 Super Bears with the great Dan Hampton and the guys that played on that team, which was arguably, probably people have said, the greatest football team of all time. And guess what? They won it once. They never even got back to the Super Bowl to win it or lose it. And they had the youngest team. Now, that's why I'm telling you, when you have these opportunities, you've got to seize it. There's nothing written or anywhere, said anywhere, that come 2019 we're going to be there again. There's absolutely nothing. And the thing that don't look good, if we lose Vic Fangio, our defensive coordinator, Dan Hampton and I were talking about it. Dan said when he left, that took ripped out part of the hearts of everybody.
When Buddy Ryan left?
That's how much they loved him and believed in him. And I'm telling you, if this guy goes, because you look back at this entire season, you tell me if we didn't win because of the defense. There are times our offense couldn't even get out of their own way. And boy, if we lose the magic on defense, we're going to be in some trouble. So, again, let me just say it again. My God, you're there. You're at home. They had everything in the palm of their hands, and they didn't make it happen. Can't blame anybody but themselves.
OB, I'm not one of these guys putting all the blame on Parkey. I don't think anybody should. But do
no,
you?
Absolutely
no,
absolutely not.
Right. I'm with you. But do you think there needs to be changes there? I mean, I'm not just talking about last night. The guy only hit 76% of his kicks this year, OB.
Oh, Kevin, you kid, I agree with you 100%. He's got to go. The stigma right now is too thick. It's too that's all they're going to be talking about. If when he comes to mini camp, oh God, he's here. And when they start next season, so he has to go for the good of the team and for the good for himself too. He really does.
Yeah, he'll be under a microscope. I can play. When you look ahead to this offseason and free agency, OB, where do you think they need to upgrade most? Is it secondary, the offensive line? Where do you think the Bears need to upgrade?
I'll tell you what, I don't think they really have to do too much. I think the main thing they have to do is they've got to keep Fangio. Yeah. I cannot stress this, guys, enough. And the thing that really bothers me, where Fangio might go, is Denver Broncos with John Elway. John Elway is a very smart man, and he runs that ship in Denver. And I'll tell you what, they have three down linemen defense, okay? And they have some pretty damn good players in Denver. They might offer him the world to come to Denver. And if he does, we lose him. I'm telling you something. Not that's going to be a massive problem, but it's going to be an instant problem because all these guys, I know for a fact, love Fangio. They believe in him. They say he's the man, and there's no question about it. So, and then even Miami. Miami's got all kinds of money. They'll pay anybody anything. And Fangio comes, my God, with the San Francisco 49ers. They were the number
one defense. All right, stop it. All right.
You know, Elway and Fangio are rumored, by the way, to be meeting for dinner
That's
in Chicago
what they're saying,
tonight.
The Broncos.
You two are connected. You guys are connected in the restaurant world.
Right.
You know, maybe spoil the dinner or something.
They're saying the Broncos correspondent is saying John Elway is going to dinner with Vic Fangio this evening in the Chicago area. What do you think, Ro? Over
Gibson's. At
the Viagra Triangle,
yeah,
probably.
Sure, yeah.
We got to go over there, hold some signs up.
Yeah,
don't
Ro,
go.
Make
Vic.
Something happen. Give him a bad dinner.
No, yes. No. I just show up. Oh, hey, look who's here.
Hey, what are you two? Use guys.
Elsway, listen, you got a phone call out there.
I got a
phone.
Get out of here.
Yeah, and I got a phone. You got a phone call. Don't fall on the way down the steps. Hey, I want to ask you this question, OB, because I think this is really the issue. If you are Vic Fangio and you're getting this opportunity to be a head coach, especially in Denver, which, you know, has got some pieces in place, mm-hmm. and it's a very great, great, great city. I mean, why? It's really kind of just up to him what he's going to decide is best for his life and his family.
I'm going to tell you what, Ro. I mean, do I know for a fact? No. But I'm telling you what, There's a pretty damn good guess that they're going to offer him something next to the whole world to get him in Denver. I really believe that. I truly believe that. I told you, John Elway's nobody's fool, and he knows how to win, and he knows what it takes to win. He's been a great champion himself, and he runs the Denver outfit, and I hope it doesn't happen. I hope Fangio stays here. Because we got the nucleus right here, I think, of something that really could be good in the near future. And you know what? This was a great lesson for these kids on this team, and even the coaches, too.
Can I just go back to Cody Parkey, though? I'm sorry. I got to go back to this. Because, honest to God, if it were not for the Miami game, which he lost, right? And for this game, not for the Miami game, they might have actually gotten the bye.
They would have.
And then you get the what happened yesterday. I mean, this team, and it could have gotten past L.A., they would have at least been in the NFC Championship this year against the, maybe it's a team of destiny, the Saints and Breeze this year and all that. I don't know. This is kind of, last hurrah for him. But whatever. I mean, the fact is to lose based on a field goal kicker, and the last time, I mean, there have been some not so great ones here, but we've also been blessed to have guys like Kevin Butler,
right,
who was as consistent as you can imagine. Robbie Gould, mm-hmm, as consistent as you could imagine. I mean, you go back to the 1970s, and I know you remember Bob Thomas, who was now is a Supreme Court justice, or was at least in the
smart guy.
Smart guy. But it was like that sort
not
of thing.
Not so good.
And I remember, when the guys go to kick, and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And that's exactly what it was like. You can't have a championship team that has that deficiency, can you?
Well, I'm going to tell you what, Ro. I just heard what you said, and I heard people talking about that. Let me tell you something the way I see it. The way I see it, it never should have come down. Never should have come down the last couple seconds of a game to win it. We scored one touchdown. One.
Yeah.
At home with the great, and those fans were absolutely unbelievable. They went crazy.
Thank you.
We scored one stinking touchdown, 6 points in four quarters of football when everything is on the line. It's on the line right there in front of you, and we score one touchdown, and this poor kid blows the field goal, and we want to hang him, and maybe rightly so. But I'll tell you what, where the hell were the other 52 guys? Where was our coaching staff? How could it be that in the fourth quarter with a few seconds to go in the game, did you see the clock management by our coach? He blew the clock management. And then when the ball, I'll tell you what, Trubisky made a great pass. It was on what, the 23, 20, whatever it was, yard line. And he's running down because we have no timeouts. And did you see, instead of sprinting down there and getting the offense set and bang, get the ball and down it, he is running, and you can see right on television and right on him. He's looking at the Bears coach. He's looking for Nagy, and he's going like this, like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? As the tickets, the seconds are ticking off the clock, he should have ran down there. So it tells me Nagy didn't know what the hell he was doing, and neither did Trubisky. Because if it's the truth of the matter is, he's got to run right down there, get that offense set up, and down the ball when there's no timeouts. An idiot could figure that one out.
Well, I'm with you, OB, because there was 33 seconds and Trubisky connected with Robinson, that big gain, and they had one timeout left, and instead of running up and clocking it, giving yourself an opportunity to run a whole variety of plays with that luxury of the timeout, they burned the timeout, which completely limits
twice.
It completely limits your options there. They only ran one more play.
Cody Parkey had kicked the field goal, we wouldn't be having this conversation!
Well, I'm going to tell you something, guys. You just, you can talk about it and push it any way you want, but it never should have come down it. And I'll stick to what I'm saying.
All right. I hear what you're saying. But the point is that we're sitting here on a Monday and the football season's over. The football season's over.
What a way to end, too. That just hurt.
And our Green Bay Packer fans out there, Kim, and amongst others, who have reached out to me in the last 24 hours to tell me
condolences.
I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, come on. No, they're not.
We had our kicking problems this year, too.
Yeah, okay. You know what? I don't have, you know, finally, I don't have to think about Green Bay. I can think about all the Green Bay. They're my rearview mirror. No. Now they're like, yeah, you're home, too, now.
Let's just agree to disagree, and we'll start this all over again in August.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was a great year.
Fun year.
It was.
Nobody expected this. 12 wins. I mean, there's a person on this planet that would have bet on that one. But I'll tell you what, all in all, they all did a heck of a job. And everybody, well, you got to regroup and you got to come back. But I'll tell you something, guys, you got to get that offense moving, whether it's, I don't know, you get another offensive coordinator in here or whatever. But boy, oh boy, to go into this game and come down to the kicker, that never should have happened. Right. And I'm stick by my statement that never should happen.
But, OB, you have hope for next year. You think about the core being locked up and the young team still. And, you know, you look at how they grew this season. As you said, no one expected it. And you saw each game how things got, you just got a little more hope and things just seemed to gel a little bit more for this team. Doesn't that lead to great possibilities for next year?
It sure does, Andy. And I'll tell you what, the thing that impressed me the most about the Bears on offense or defense was against the Rams when we were playing at home, and they came in like the hottest team in the NFL. You know, and their defensive line, those guys were monsters, to say the least. And I'll tell you what, our offensive line, and I made a point of that after that game, that was the thing that impressed the hell out of me, was that those five guys up front, they came of age. They really did, working together, and they manhandled them. And ever since then, they've done a great job from game to game to game. They really have. So offensively, defensively, the youth of the team, you know, and I think these kids are starting to believe in themselves. And I think if they can keep this thing together, then I think we really and truly have something really to look forward to for several years.
All right.
That sounds good.
If this can happen.
Okay. Thanks, OB.
Great season, OB. Thank you for being with us, as always.
I tell you what, I enjoyed the whole thing. And, you know, sometimes I get a little too excited, and I'm sorry. But
I love that about you.
I try hard not to do that, but it just so I hope I didn't hurt anybody or whatever. But
we love
the
it,
damn
OB.
Game of football and source the Chicago Bears, but... And thank you guys for the opportunity
thank
to do
you.
It to me.
Thank you. Thank
you. We love your passion.
You're a legend. Thank you, OB. Appreciate it.
Have a great 19.
Okay, so I... I never apologize for being overly excited. I don't know why he's doing it.
I like how he said, I hope I didn't hurt anybody. I don't know.
He's got a big heart, that OB.
Yes,
even though he's
does.
So passionate about football, and we love that about him. He's just...
Right now, caller number 19, 312-981-7200, wins a pair of tickets to see the Hawks take on the Preds on Wednesday night. You know, realize the Hawks are only 6 points out of a playoff position right
now. They're scratching. They're clawing.
That is 3 wins away. Hmm. Well, 3 wins and three. You know, they got some guys to climb.
Five teams ahead of them, but they're there. They're getting a shot. They're clawing.
Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com and listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. They are fun to watch right now. It's an energized team. Now that Cam Ward is the official goalie, it's sort of like there's a new sort of...
Kalen Delia has been great
over
his 4 starts. Yoki Haru returns tonight after fresh off a gold medal from the World Juniors.
Connor Murphy is back, and now that the Judy has retired, he feels safe.
He can come back in the building again
right?
without missing. So, is Robinson coming up to him?
So he's got a lot of things going.
She could be lurking outside. You never know.
There are a lot of things here that are that are kind of looking up. So if you want to come join us on Wednesday night there at the United Center, your chance right now, 312-981-7200, 19th caller. All right. Kim, what's coming up at the top of the hour in the news?
Chicago Alderman Ed Burke about to lose some perks this hour.
The Roe Con Show.
With me.
Savannah DeBlancis. Can I just mention this?
Yeah, sure.
That,
you're not going to mention the unmentionable, right?
Well, I'm going to mention that on my way to the unmentionable yesterday. the Bears game. Mm-hmm. I always wondered what would happen. Like, it was really crowded getting in, as it is to a lot of sporting events.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go through security and they had enhanced security protocols. I get that.
Sure.
And I
playoffs.
I buzzed going in.
Oh.
Because I've, you know, forgotten.
Your enormous belt buckle?
Your rocket launcher that you carry around?
It's my, I always wear.
Surface to air missile grenade launcher.
Ro never leaves
just
his house
in case.
Without it. You never know.
Yeah, you do never know. So, but I put my phone and my, you know, those like wireless earphone things, mm-hmm. AirPods, mm-hmm. in the little, you know, little slidey thing. It's like a water slide.
You put your phone in there,
your phone
and some
and your
of the other
keys
smaller
and stuff.
Things. Uh-huh.
And I put that in, and then I buzzed, and they pushed me back through. And by the time I got there, got to the little slidey water slide for your belongings,
mm-hmm.
my AirPods had been taken by someone else.
Whoa.
Gee.
Yeah, but can't you find them from your phone? Aren't they like
connected? What am I going to do? Who am I going to call?
I'm going to find them.
Yeah, I mean I could go look. You know what? I'm going to look that up in the next half hour.
Yeah, I'll help you with that.
What? You mean you can find your pods like a
I didn't
find my iPhone?
Yeah, you can.
Your pods? I didn't know that.
Yeah, cuz they're on like sensors the same
I thought
way.
It was just Bluetooth, so you can't.
You're gonna be walking down the street, it's going to be beeping too. Some guy next to you's going to be playing.
Hey, you son of a. Where'd you get those?
Or you could. It would be cool if you could set off an alarm in their ear.
I was chasing people down
or
the concourse,
crank them up
like
to 90 degrees, and all of a sudden their AirPods are like,
right.
You know.
I was like Uncle Billy and It's a Wonderful Life, running up and down looking for my iPods. Oh my God, where are they? I was retracing my steps.
And everybody wears them now.
I know.
I guess you can. You sign into your iCloud and click all devices, then mm-hmm. click AirPods, and you just can do it just like you find your iPhone.
I mean, see, this is a perk of having me on the group text.
You know, I knew this already. You didn't have to tell me this.
There's one group text that somehow you're not on, Violetta.
I don't know why that is. It's weird.
She had no idea she wasn't on it. Stop it.
It's just right.
Yeah, you can play a sound remotely in their ear.
Oh, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Throw the bear raid in it.
The worst part is when people wear those and you don't know they're wearing them.
Right.
Like, my sister's constantly listening to Harry Potter in her ear pods while I'm talking to her.
I would be, too, if I were your sister.
I'm like, hello.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway,
gotta move
you can,
on.
You can
I'm
relocate
gonna figure this
them.
Out. I'm gonna locate them. Hold on. I should do this now, right?
Just ping them a little bit and then see if they call you back.
Excuse me. I'm having God.
Oh gosh, Ro.
Uh-oh.
You get stressed about his ear pods.
I'm having a Ditka right now about my.
Wouldn't it be funny if they're like in your pocket?
No, they're not.
You think it was somebody full-blown stole them, or is it an accident?
They had to, because you can't pick them up unless they had ear pods they put through, and then the next guy took those.
I don't know. And I'm gonna send an earpiece.
Probably
earpiece
a Philly fan,
in.
No question.
Some
about
guy's gonna be bleeding from his ears in about 5 minutes here. But
so
I gotta
know.
But right now we gotta do this. This is more important. Mm-hmm. This thing right here.
Certainly. Why is it not working?
There we go. The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Okay. Checking in at
number five.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders ran into a buzzsaw yesterday on, of all places, Fox News Channel.
Sure did.
Chris Wallace interviewing her about the border with Mexico.
We know that roughly nearly 4,000 known or suspected terrorists come into our country illegally. And we know that our most vulnerable point of entry is at our southern border.
Because I know this statistic. I didn't know if you were going to use it, but I studied up on this. Do you know where those 4,000 people come or where they're captured? Airports.
Not always, but certainly a large number.
The State Department says there hasn't been any terrorists that they found coming across the southern border from
Mexico. It's by air, it's by land, and it's by sea. It's all of the above. But one thing that you're forgetting is that the most vulnerable point of entry that we have into this country is our southern border, and we have to protect it.
Yeah,
right. Chris Wallace does his homework. He suspected that she'd bring that up and was able to sort of say, nope, it's really happening at the airport.
He was actually shocked because he's like, it's not happening there.
And the more and
but
more that
coming,
individuals
they're not coming across the southern border, Sarah. They're coming and they're being stopped
they're
at airports.
They're coming in a number of ways. They're certainly, I'm not disagreeing with you that they're coming through airports. I'm saying that they come by air, by land, and by sea. And the more and more that our border becomes vulnerable and less that we spend time and money protecting it, the more that we're going to have an influx, not just of terrorists, but of human traffickers, drug inflow, and people that are coming here to do American citizens harm.
This is a really simple. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks because we haven't had a chance to talk about it, and it's just going on and on and on. I think everybody should agree that you want to you want to make sure that your borders are secure, right? And you want to, but there's an issue of fiscal responsibility, which Democrats and Republicans apparently now both. They used to argue about how Republicans used to argue about how Democrats are fiscally irresponsible. Now Republicans are like, whatever, we're drunken, we're sailors, let's go. And
suddenly the Democrats are the fiscal responsibility party.
Sort of, unless they want to like overtake. I mean, the whole thing is a mess. The problem is he's trying to build a vanity wall that is based on that, you know, pays off on his promise, right? He wants to get the promise made, promise kept, and Democrats want to keep him from doing that. They should give money to create. They should just come up. You know what I would like as an American citizen? I want to take all the politics out of it. I just as an American citizen, I'd like somebody to articulate what the plan is and then let us decide if we like the idea. As opposed to he's trying to build a wall. It's going to be slats. It's going to be concrete. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. And you're not going to have a wall all the way across. Mick Mulvaney, his new chief of staff, for the minute, I think that's his official title, said yesterday, he was like, we don't need it all the way across. We're not doing that. We get it. But it's constantly a moving target. And this is if there's a way to make it better and to actually reduce the number of people who get caught out in the middle of some desert somewhere, then maybe there's there's a better answer here. But the way that this is going right now is just pure politics. And you've got the president thinks this is playing to his base. Democrats think that this is that he's going to cave and then he won't be able to say he built a wall. I mean, the fact of the matter is he kind of missed his window. If you were really going to get this thing done, the Republicans would have done it for him when they had the control of the House and the Senate.
Will he exchange it for DACA to give the Democrats what they want there? It's unclear what he's giving that primetime address tomorrow.
Oh, it ought to be a good one. Stay tuned. 7 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll be sitting here staring at it. I'm going to be eating my Cheerios. Mouths open, eating my Cheerios for dinner and watching. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number four.
With Alderman Ed Burke under federal investigation just weeks before the mayoral election, aldermanic and mayoral hopefuls are lining up to publicly stake out positions calling for the end of corruption in Chicago as we know it. This is a very brave moment on their part.
Really?
It took an indictment of Ed Burke for them to stand up. Oh, they've known this the whole time. But now they're going to go, oh, well, Ed Burke, oh, the Wicked Witch is dead. So now we get to stand up. No one would ever dare stand up before because they were afraid of him. I kind of get that. They would have been mowed down politically for doing that. But that's part of the problem. That's why this city can't get out of its own freaking way. Here's Paul Vallis.
We must start by ridding Chicago of the endemic pay-to-play corruption that seems baked into the cake of local government. I spent my entire year fixing broken systems, and I have a plan to do the same for Chicago. But first, we need to take the broom to City Hall and sweep out the mess.
Okay.
Chicagoans, it's up to you. If you want change, you have to vote for it.
I hate guys who stunt with a broom. He had a broom in his hand.
He did.
Start to take broom and sweep.
Got some attention there. I guess they're pointing a finger that it isn't just Toni Preckwinkle, who now has said she will give back the $116,000 she raised at a fundraiser at Alderman Ed Burke's house, but others who have very strong ties to Ed Burke's. Susana Mendoza, the YouTube video is out now showing him introducing her and her describing him as somewhat of a political mentor. Bill Daley, of course, Gary Chico. They all have ties to him. And so, how far does it go? What does it matter in the minds of voters? Certainly, a lot of finger pointing is they
could be an interesting year. This is just like 1979 all over again. It really is. We are now living a 40-year redo. The Bears made the playoffs and lost in the first round. There was a mayoral election and there was a snowstorm, right? And all hell broke loose. I mean, it was a weird moment. It is 1979 without the disco. Although Willie Wilson, mm-hmm. he had his thoughts on this.
Why are they just now taking and bringing this up? Don't wait now and come out the closet. All right? Should have came out earlier. My suggestion would be for all of them to resign. I think Tony Preckwinkle should resign her other job and get out the mayor race. First of all, she's getting paid for a job that the citizens have already elected her to do. Now she's running to be mayor and still getting paid by the citizens of Chicago. That is wrong.
Cook County, technically, but he's never good on the details. I just want to say one thing about Willie Wilson.
He's a darn good singer.
Great singer. And that band he brought in, our last show, our Christmas show, before we went off the air.
Tremendous.
2 weeks ago. He brought Singsation with him, which is his, mm-hmm. you know, his musical act, and is also his, you know, they have a TV show. Very, you know, highly regarded, nationally syndicated TV show.
It's like a 17-person band.
They were amazing.
Incredible.
I kind of hope he doesn't become mayor so we can have him keep coming back and doing that for us. All right, let's check in now. Here's Kim Gordon. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, a longtime state rep, calling it quits.
Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I think I found my AirPods.
Oh, did it show up on your Find My AirPods?
This is very interesting. They're at a bar.
Get out. Where?
Yeah.
In the city?
Hold on.
Or in Philadelphia?
Oh, wait. No, they're at my house, according to this. I don't think that's possible. No, I totally did. I totally
did. You sure you didn't put them in your pocket and then bring them back home?
Yeah. No, I'm positive. I took off everything at the stadium.
Maybe the guy's at your house right now.
Oh, my God!
Oh, no.
Papa!
It's that guy.
Number three.
Jada Pinkett Smith is all upset because she doesn't understand why R. Kelly's music is spiking on the internet after this Lifetime series came out.
Yeah.
This investigation of R. Kelly, which has all of these got dozens of his former employees and other people who knew that he was up to creepy antics with young underage girls.
Pretty much running a cult is what they are alleging, that involved telling them how to dress, how to bathe, what to do, sexual encounters with him, that they were keeping them captive in separate rooms within his mansion here in the Chicago area.
Very interesting. All right. So now the question is, what is the answer, Jada Pinkett Smith?
I'm having a really difficult time understanding why, but I think it's important that I understand why. I really would like for you guys to help me understand what I'm missing, even if I'm missing something that I don't necessarily agree with. And I really don't want to believe that it's because black girls don't matter enough. Or is that the reason?
It's one of the arguments here,
mm-hmm.
is that, and you even saw Chance the Rapper get kind of caught up in all of this because he'd been defensive of R. Kelly. I just want to say one thing, and then I will move off of my soapbox.
Okay.
Because it kind of, I'm afraid I'm going to twist my ankle on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand when people see things that are so obvious. He did a song called Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
He absolutely wrote about what he was doing.
Yes.
And sort of so many people knew in the Harvey Weinstein-esque way of things that it seems as if everyone was seemingly okay and protective of it.
When people tell you who they are, believe them.
Number two.
Here's another guy. Christian Bale took home the best actor for Vice, right? I mean, I told you when I saw the trailer for this, he was mm-hmm. going to win this because you cannot tell that that's not Dick Cheney. But people, including our own A.B. Stoddard, walked out of the movie.
She did.
Yeah, because it's too political. It's like to a point where it's like it's too much.
It's just like a hatchet job kind of thing? Like you're going after him?
Kind of hatchety, yes. Feels kind of even to people who would be like, oh yeah, this would be fun, and then it's a little over the top. But so Christian said he wanted to go over the top too.
Thank you to my beautiful wife, who told me less is more. Say less right now. She knows the dumb crap that can come out of my mouth at times. I can sink and ruin a perfectly good movie and a so-so career in one speech. So thank you for that advice, my love. I wouldn't be working without her.
Still can't believe he's British.
But I know, still the biggest problem for Violetta is that he's British. Then he went on to say something ridiculous, but it got beeped out. We don't know what it was.
Yeah, we do.
What do you think? Mitch McConnell next? That could be good, wouldn't it? Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role.
Mm-hmm. To which Liz Cheney did not enjoy that comment. So she's our father you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So she called him out for his...
So he doesn't listen to his wife. And he's British.
Right, exactly.
Two things we know about right. Christian Bale.
Yeah. And again, I don't like guys with foreign accents telling me how crappy America is.
Something to that.
You might want to go look at what happened over at your little,
Brexit
island across the pond.
Number one.
Yeah. Okay.
Cody Parkey sat by his locker with a glazed look, struggling to explain how it happened again. I mean, if he tried, he couldn't hit this many.
No, six
uprights.
Of them in one season?
It couldn't be done. It could not be done.
That's the worst, one of the worst feelings in the world to let your team down. So I feel terrible. I'm going to continue to put things in perspective, continue to just put my best foot forward and just sleep at night knowing that I did everything in my power this week to go and make that kick. And for whatever reason, at the crossbar and the upright, and I still couldn't do it. So I 100% take that loss on me, and it is what it is. But, I mean, sun's going to shine tomorrow. Life's going to go on, and
didn't shine.
Unfortunately, it's going to sting for a while.
Which one is his best foot? Because right. We should put that one forward, just to be clear, for the future, if there is one.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, really, if you're a kicker and you just missed the field goal to take your team further in the playoffs, do you really say best foot? No.
No.
No, you don't say that. No, you moron.
Give him credit for manning up, though.
I don't give credit for anything.
I know.
And especially, I don't give credit for our friends in the Spanish language broadcast. This is the Philadelphia Eagles Spanish language call for the end of the game yesterday.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló.
Oh.
No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! Chicago, Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Filadelfia gana el partido. Le dio el poste.
Beautiful.
All I heard was poste. That's all I know.
No, señor.
And we all know what that means.
Yes, we know what that means. It means that. Okay.
Hi, puppy.
Yes. Okay, puppy. I think we just close this thing up now,
don't we?
Yes.
Let's do it.
I think we got nothing left to live for.
The top five at five.
Kim Gordon's got the news brought to you by Penny Mustard Furnishings. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Happy 2019 to everybody.
Happy 2019.
We're going to turn around from what has been not a great start to 2019 for Bears fans.
No.
Or for basically anybody.
It's a new year.
Well, look at it this way. The Hawks are doing better.
That's true. That's true. All right. So I mentioned earlier that I lost my my ear pod, kind of those wireless earphones.
Pod Watch 2019.
Yes.
At Soldier Field when you were at the game.
Yesterday, right?
Put them in the little slidey thing for your belongings.
Right. As I was going through security and then someone else grabbed them and went off with them. And I just sent them. I found them, but I didn't find. It turns out they were in my house yesterday at noon. That's the last thing that my phone just told me, which I knew that. I was in my house at noon yesterday, too.
Something you knew, right? Yeah. That doesn't help.
You didn't have to tell me that. I knew it. That's what I do.
How about that for a smartphone?
Yeah. So then, it said send a sound anyway. So I'm sending a sound, and it's pending, and we're going to find out. And when we find out who it is, who's got them,
what's going to happen to him?
And it might be Cody Parkey.
Let's blame him.
I am going.
It's more might as well.
He was showing some new headphones off in the locker room after the game. That's
strange.
Weird
I remember
that, you
that too.
That, huh?
The interview he did have.
I was like, Cody, what kind of pods you got there, man?
Did you go in the locker room after it was all over yesterday?
I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And did you rally around Cody?
Yes,
Parkey's
I was
locker?
One of the 400 media members sticking a microphone in his face.
Yeah. And what can you tell me? Just make me feel a little bit better about this.
Well. He owned up to it. We asked him mechanically. He says he thought he struck the ball well. He says he was trying to play the wind, which was left to right, is what he said. I think that's why he was trying to play that draw, the right to left into the wind. Obviously, didn't work out. Ball was tipped as well. But he manned up to it. He did. I'll give him credit to that. He felt awful about it. His team rallied around him. Not a single guy said anything negative about him. Akeem Hicks said, that's my guy. We're a team. We're together. We win and lose together. So
yeah, that's
he faced the music.
Mm-hmm. Give him credit for that. That's true.
I did feel bad. He was just sitting there, and all of us were just, like, on top of him. Just, like, cameras in his face, lights in his face, microphones. Not a good look.
Well, Robbie Gould is at the game.
Right.
Tweeting out pictures of his sons watching.
Can we... Now, let me ask you this. Should we not allow Robbie Gould to go to these games because it's spooking our own kickers?
I wonder Maybe. If Parkey knew he was there.
I think so. Wasn't he giving interviews?
Gould told us, like, 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He did a presser... with the media, and he says he's going to go to the game.
He says his wife still lives here, and he's here part-time, and so he comes back. He's still a Bears fan at heart, and his kids are, and so he wants them to go all the way to the Super Bowl. He was a really positive thing.
Isn't it interesting that he happens to be in a year in which you know that the Bears have a kicking problem because it's been all season long they've had a kicking problem with this guy. He's only kicking 3 out of every 4 attempts are going through the 2 uprights, which we should explain to him is how you score the points.
That's what usually happens.
And there's some bad social media posts, by the way, of Parkey resurfacing today.
What's that?
There's a video of him. He's like practicing this Sunday, and it's him kicking at a pole. That was his practice.
Oh, no. Oh, maybe he doesn't know how it works.
Right. And then there's a picture of field goal post when he was playing at Auburn, and he said, a kicker's best friend, # field goal post. Oh. So, yeah, the internet wins again.
Oh,
not a good look for Parkey.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, what the fuck? Come on. Oh, God.
I mean, to hit the post 6 times in one. I mean, a guy is not going to hit a post 6 times in his career. He does it in one season, and not a single one of them goes in.
Not one.
And this was the closest one to going in. Most of them just doinked and fell right down to the end zone. This one hit the... A lot of people thought it went in right away.
I
thought it went in right when it fell down. I mean, we were watching, like, in the interview when people started screaming.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, God. You see it bouncing around the end zone. And you just hear the terror.
And it's 2 of them.
Right. Double doink.
Can we have the double doink? Can we hear the double doink?
It doesn't help.
It's awful. It's horrifying to think about. What just transpired here. But you know, the only way to get through this, people, is to live it until it doesn't hurt, which could take Kevin 20 or 30 years.
Had to have some Miller Lights last night.
Yeah, I'll bet.
The sound of the crowd is just a dagger in my heart.
I know. You just hear it and you felt it. Could
is this higher or lower than Bartman in your Chicago horrible sports stories?
Well, I'll tell you. You know what? Because he was a civilian, right? I mean, he had nothing to do with anything.
Right.
His
life was ruined.
He made an unfortunate choice in headgear and in...
A green turtleneck.
An unfortunate outfit.
Yeah, unfortunate
easy
style.
Target for everyone.
And
But he wasn't getting paid $15 million.
Right.
Listening to WGN on his headphones.
Yep. And
Thank you. And
the problem that we have here is that, you know, that kind of fan interference thing happens all the time. It really kind of came down... to the reaction, to what's his name's reaction? Why is his name
Moises Alou?
Moises Alou, mm-hmm. When he reacted and he was, you know, kind of going nuts.
Right.
He probably wouldn't have made that catch anyway. But it is, so I go back and I look at that moment
in
history.
But the disappointment factor is the
same.
Yeah,
but they won, but they subsequently did win. It took them 8 more years, but they subsequently did win the World Series. So, it's passed. And I think all is forgiven there. This is a situation where this is the actual player, you know, and that's where you get into.
I mean, has there ever been a player that's been like this, like fans so mad at an individual player?
Well, there's so many memes going around about Jay Cutler.
Yeah, but Jay Cutler never
Yeah, but he never like choked in a major moment. I mean, he threw a lot of picks in major moments, but it wasn't like on a huge scale.
This
like
is net, and only a kicker.
And it stings because this is such a special year.
This is
such a fun season. It's such a fun team with characters and fun guys to talk to and watch play. And you just felt like this is a Super Bowl run type team.
There are only three positions in football where you can make this kind of mistake: a wide receiver, kicker,
drop the
and
ball.
Defensive back. Right, where the ball's thrown right to you. I mean, you saw that actually in the Green Bay game. There were a number of times this year that were individual players made mistakes that cost the game. But Cody Parkey did it twice. Actually, more than twice, but at least twice. He cost the game. He had the game-winning field goal, and Miami missed it, and then this last night.
I mean, this is one of those situations, like in 30 years, someone just mentioned the name Parkey, and you're going, oh, God. Oh, no.
Does he have a career after this, though?
We'll see. I mean, kickers bounce around. Bears haven't moved on from him yet, but I highly anticipate them doing so.
I'm sort of surprised that they haven't.
I was actually at the front door of Hallis Hall. I'm like, I'll try out. Ryan Pace, I will try out for kicker. I was third string kicker in high school. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, I mean, there are guys. This is the crazy thing.
Yeah.
There are guys in college football who every year there's at least one guy. Sometimes they're not even in football bowl series teams. Mm-hmm. Sometimes these are guys in FCS or Division II. There are guys that are like these monster kickers, right? That they're like a freak of nature, and they're also going. There was a whole era back in my day, back in the 1970s and 80s, they were constantly going to soccer playing like villages all over the world, looking. They'd go somewhere in South America and they'd find a guy that like in some jungle somewhere near the Amazon, and they gave him an oblong soccer ball and said, "Hey, kick it," and then he would kick it, and they go, "You are hired." Right?
I think several of them have soccer backgrounds.
A lot of them do. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. A lot of them do. But, and then, the big thing now is these Australian rules football guys that they're using for punters.
Right.
And drop kickers. This almost happened. This almost happened on Saturday night in the Seattle-Dallas game, where the long-standing NFL kicker, who kicks for Seattle,
Janikowski. My guy looks like he could hang out with him at a bar. He's got a beer belly.
Yeah. I mean, he's like a 230 pounds.
He's like, really? Yeah. Old, right? Yeah. You don't see that. Wow.
But he's been in the league for, he's 40 something years.
Remember the
old,
Raiders
right?
took him in the first round.
Yeah. So he's been a great kicker. A great kicker, but he blew his hamstring out at the end of the first half. And all they had left was this Australian rules kicker guy who's a punter who knows how to drop kick, which means you have to drop the ball and then kick it after it's hit the ground. You either kick it on its way back up or while it's hitting the ground simultaneously.
It's hard to do with a football, isn't it?
Not since 1937 have there been points scored using a drop kick. This guy actually did drop kick against the Bears as a kickoff. But has not tried to score with it. If you drop kick it and it goes through the uprights, this is like Three Stooges football, but that would count as either a point after or as a field goal, depending on when you're kicking it. So that rule still applies in the NFL. And they almost had to use that because they were out. They didn't have a kicker. And now it's a little harder since they moved the kick back, so now it's like a 27 yards or whatever to get a point after attempt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, the bottom line here is this: Cody Parkey got a goal, and sorry, I'll bring him in myself, I'll fire him myself. If Virginia McCaskey doesn't want to do it, I'll do it. I'll just explain to him, listen, this isn't working out for anybody. This is really great. Go to the bursar's office, collect your final check, and goodbye. I mean, I'm more than
still going to get $3.5 million from the Chicago Bears next year, no matter what.
Here's a check. Go and live your life and move to an island.
Move to an island.
Because you're going to have to do that. Go buy an island. You can probably get one for $3.5 million. Then they got to go out and find a guy. And maybe I'll go to the Amazon. I'll look for a guy in a jungle.
You'll be on the scouting committee.
I mean, I am going to risk dysentery and tsetse flies go and find a kicker for the Bears.
That's a Bears fan for you, folks. I'll go with you.
That's big. You too.
In search of a kicker.
Where are you guys going? We're looking for a kicker, damn it.
Right. The guy, either a kicker or a blow dart expert. Either one. We're going to find a guy who's somewhere in a jungle that can kick the ball. There's a guy right now playing. You know how they always talk about this with baseball players in the Caribbean? There's a guy right now kicking a can right through a tree stump.
He's the chosen one.
Right. And we're going to find him somewhere in the world, and we're going to make him the new Bears kicker. He will not speak any English. It doesn't matter. A lot of these guys in the 70s and 80s did not speak any English. Right? They just put him on the team. And it was like in football, there was nobody who didn't speak English in football, right? In the 1970s. There wasn't any of that. Right? And so now, and the other guys, like in baseball, no one speaks English. But in football, and in hockey too, it's Canadian. I mean, who knows? The point is, when you get a guy who doesn't speak, it doesn't matter, he's on his own, they live their life in this like little, cluster or whatever they do. I don't care anymore. I just want to find one guy that we can rely on. Either that or just re-sign Robbie Gould, who is clearly lobbying for the job.
Hey, guys, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm over here.
Robbie, remember
in the
me?
Box.
Yeah. All-time
leading
scorer.
Oh, my wife still lives
here.
Here
are my cute kids.
Really kind of work out great.
Remember me? Did you look at my record lately since I left the Bears?
You could, yeah.
Has anybody looked
That's
at that?
That's his tweet, teaching these boys the history of the Bears, and it's a picture of his kids in the box cheering on the Bears.
Yeah, he's lobbying for it.
It's great.
You might want to give
Bring
it to
him.
Otherwise, Kevin and I are going to go get malaria looking for a guy who can kick a can
no
through a
that.
Knot in a tree.
Whatever it takes.
No one wants that.
I'll get malaria for the Bears. I'll do whatever it takes.
And then a guy who's a blow dart expert.
Ow. I felt that
we're going to be one of those things where you go like that guy in Southeast Asia who went to an island and then was eaten or something because he was like
the one who said, I don't care, I'm a missionary and I'll bring everybody over to my side.
Kevin and I we're just looking for a kicker. Ow!
Don't worry about us.
This fire's hot. I'm just looking for a kicker. All right, Kim, do you have the WGN News update? What's going on at the top of the hour?
A former Illinois congressman moves from politics to pundit.
Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. Richard Roper has just stepped into the studio.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Richard. Have you found your earbuds, Ro?
No.
You're tracking them on your phone.
My AirPods are missing.
Geez.
I lost them while going through security yesterday
at
Soldier Field. Mm-hmm. You like put them in that little slippy slide to, and then you collect them on the other side. And when I did that, I got flagged. I had to go back through again because I forgot something in my pocket.
Your ID bracelet from high school. Insist on wearing
my locket. Actually, it's my.
That's sweet.
It is my. It's my calf wrestling belt buckle.
It's a beauty.
That's
a beauty, though. Yeah.
That'll your steel-toed boots.
Did you have your pods in that little case that they come in?
Sure. Yeah. And then someone scarfed them.
It looks like floss. That little case.
Yeah.
It's the same size.
So I'm like, I'm looking for him. I can't find him. And I was
tracking him.
And I didn't care. I was so excited to be at the Bears game yesterday. Yeah. It was like a last minute thing. And I didn't care. I was like, you know what? I'll just get new ones. And then when they lost the game, I've just been obsessing over those things because I got nothing left to live for.
You know they say, like, if a butterfly flaps its wings, on the other side of the universe, eventually it could, like, create a tsunami. The fact you didn't have your earbuds, maybe that somehow upset the balance of weight at Soldier Field by 0.000001 mile per hour, and that's why the ball got tipped.
This is a big development.
Actually, a Philly fan
for sure.
Cody Parkey, It's a Wonderful Life.
I asked Kev if he could call Cody Parkey and see if he's got my earbuds or at least buy me a new pair after all the pain he just put me through.
He can afford it.
I don't know why we're not, since we try to look for things to panic about on this show, why are we not panicking about Vic Fangio having dinner right now with John Elway somewhere in Chicago?
I mean, he loves Chicago. He's a Cub fan. He loves to play
Head
Conway
coaching
Farms,
job, though.
Maria's Bakery in Highwood's his favorite restaurant. I mean, come on. Can't get that in Denver?
Why don't we? Yeah, actually, can get all that.
I know. Damn it.
What you need? What we need right now? I think I should call Gibson's and page him.
Maybe we should hold up signs or something outside. Don't go,
John Elway. Paging John Elway. Telephone call, John Elway.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Those days are kind of gone now. The kids don't even understand what I'm talking about. There used to be somebody who walked through a restaurant or a lobby of a hotel, paging somebody wearing a little monkey oven grinder kind of thing,
organ
grinder kind of thing.
That's true.
And walking through telegram, Telegram for Mungo. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing.
Right.
And like now look at us.
Wait, and what would that do?
You'd then go up and you'd talk on a phone. They'd either bring a phone to you or you'd get up and you'd go and no, like talk on a phone.
But are you going to talk to him? Are you trying to page him to talk
to
him?
Yeah, I'm trying to get him away from Vic Fangio. I'm trying to distract him.
Okay.
Before he's like, hey, you know, you gotta come out here and see what we're doing. Denver's a great town.
You got unfinished business, Vic.
What if Fangio's a stoner and he ends up in Denver because likes the
with the governor Hookenhauser.
Oh my gosh, Elway's slipping him some edibles as we speak.
Yeah, he's like, we got him.
You feel like you're in John Elway town when you're there because he's got the car dealerships. He's got a restaurant.
Yeah,
he did.
He's running that franchise into the ground. There's that. He's made some really bad moves in recent years too. So maybe Vic should look at that.
Yeah.
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 That'd be part of the pitch.
Yeah.
For sure.
Vic, he's asking you because he does dumb things. I don't think that's a good pitch. Then we got to go the other way. Mm. How about this? Hey, Elway, take Cody Parkey.
Oh, jeez.
Leave us Vic Fangio.
Poor guy.
I do feel sorry for him, too, because he's so nice.
Okay.
I really was hoping Bears fans were going to tear down the goalpost, even though the Bears lost, just to get that goalpost off
we don't need
forever.
This.
Well, could be the fault of the goalpost. Have you thought of that?
Is it more often that goalpost than the other?
No, it's actually the other one. Although he did hit that
out of the six.
He did hit. I was at that game, the Detroit game, where he hit five.
Yeah,
and it was mostly the south end zone, as
okay.
I recall.
So now he has a new nemesis.
Yeah.
11 but missed kicks, is by the way, this year. Extra points and field goals combined.
11.
11. Six of them hit the post. Yeah.
I think it's something like in... I hate to bring this up, but in Robbie Gould's career, isn't like his total misses like 15 in his career?
Well over 90%. And what some of the kickers this year? What's the kid on the Ravens? I think he missed one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Goose Island's capitalizing on it. They have a challenge, a 43-yard field goal challenge, for all the people out there who say they could do it.
Oh, let's go! I could totally nail a 43-yarder after
gonna
a few
be this
beers.
Weekend. And then you get free beer for a year.
What?
But 43. But 43. Wait, wasn't it a 30-yard attempt? What was it?
43.
It was 43. Yeah. Okay.
I couldn't. I didn't understand.
But it's
got
to be the.
You couldn't follow along without your pods.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
In the 3 years since the Bears cut Robbie Gould, he's 82 for 85.
Wow.
Bears kickers are cumulatively 60 for 79.
Yeah. See, I think 82 for 85 is better than 60 for 79.
I think it's substantially.
But the Goose Island thing, it's got. I mean, there's a lot of college kids and stuff out there that could right. Could kick a 43-yarder. So that's got to be the first one. If not, they're going to be giving away a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Can I ask you about the Golden Globes?
Yes.
Let's
before
do that.
We
change the subject,
because Sweet Lou's going to be here in a few minutes.
Oh, cool.
We can relive all of his horror again with him.
He'll be in a good mood.
Yeah. Oh, God. I can only imagine.
His giant squared knotted tie will be at half-mast.
Do you think that if you thought OB was out of his mind a couple hours ago, yeah. Wait till you hear Lou.
Oh, man.
God. All right. I got a question for you, because now I'm internationally famous for loving A Star Is Born.
Yes.
After John Oliver
true.
Made me famous.
Oh, right.
For
loved
it.
They used that clip
it.
Of you.
I
kind of crying about it, as I recall.
Yes.
Yes.
It's such a beautiful movie. So well done. It's one of the greatest cinematic adventures of all times. I ask you this. Why did it get squinched last night at the Golden Globes?
It's a shocker. But, you know, we always have to remind people the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, it sounds so impressive, right? The Hollywood Foreign Press Association. You picture this group at the United Nations. It's a total of exactly 88 journalists, in some cases we use that term lightly, from various outlets, from Britain to Turkey to Switzerland to China to Australia to New Zealand. About half of them are full-time reporters. The other half, all you have to do is write 4 articles a year, and you always will keep your membership in the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So it's the same people who have been voting since they picked Sophia Loren as the newcomer of the year. So if you look at this, talking about the math, you're talking about like 88 voters. All you need is 25 votes, and you can win a Golden Globe. 25 votes. So, and the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, they're notorious. They love to come on all the junkets and do the interviews and everything. If you schmooze them and they like you, they might vote for you. And if you don't, they might vote against you. So it doesn't take too much of just a little bit of a shift. If someone decides that Rami Malek was so cool, or they love Bohemian Rhapsody, or they love the music of Queen, all of a sudden a movie like that can win.
Now, Bohemian Rhapsody, which did win Best Picture.
Yes.
Right.
Which is
ironically,
insanely wrong.
Yeah.
Right. It seems that way.
And it's what's interesting, it won for Best Picture Drama, not Best Picture Musical or Comedy.
Again, here we're talking about the Golden Globes. They have the categories of drama or musical or comedy, and they put Bohemian Rhapsody in drama, even though it's wall-to-wall the music of Queen.
Right. Now,
because they're idiots.
So I ask you this question.
Yes.
Bohemian Rhapsody, which you gave... not a spark.
One star. It's a cartoon. It's a Monkees episode where the lead singer gets sick, basically. That's about how deep it gets.
And it was pretty universally panned, and Rotten Tomatoes didn't give it any love either.
Nobody liked the movie.
Queen fans
liked it because it is kind of it's a PG-13 kind of whitewashing of everything that happened. Very simplistic telling. Everything got wrapped up beautifully in the end. I know all these biopics move facts around, but they change things in incredible ways. And really, I think turned it into kind of a a very light-hearted romp, which is very strange because Freddie Mercury, was a great artist and a great trailblazer, but there was a lot of darkness in his life. And it's a PG-13 movie. To me, if it even gets nominated for an Oscar, it's going to be one of the worst pictures ever to be even nominated for an Academy Award.
Wow.
Does it kind of have to be now, or no? Does that not
no.
work that way?
No. The good thing is, everyone always says, well, the Golden Globes, if you sweep the Golden Globes, it helps a little bit, but the 7,000, 8,000 members of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences don't really care that much about the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. There's no overlap whatsoever there.
Interesting.
The voters for the Oscars are producers, directors, writers, actors, editors, people in the business.
Is there a backlash device now? A lot of people have seen it. Our own A.B. Stoddard says she walked out of it because it was just too much for her. And she likes those kinds of movies.
Yeah, it's become very chic to hate Vice because it's done in a... It's almost an American Monty Python type movie. It's a farce. The director, Adam McKay, who did all of the Will Ferrell movies... also did The Big Short. He treated it like the farce you could see.
A Second City guy, by the way.
Yeah. And so even though it's making a lot of serious points about a lot of, deadly decisions made by, high-profile politicians, including Dick Cheney, it's done mostly in a comical way or done in a way where you're supposed to laugh at them while also being shocked at them. People weren't expecting that, I don't think. I think they wanted a biopic, straightforward biopic. And even Christian Bale is one of the greatest actors of all time. He played Dick Cheney in kind of an SNL type of... I mean, he really did an impersonation instead of trying to, give us huge insights. He just nailed what the guy looks and sounds like.
He did. That's for sure, right? But will he get the Oscar for this, do you think?
No. No, he'll get nominated, but I don't think he'll get the Academy Award.
And why was Mahershala Ali?
Yes.
As a supporting actor. Is that a supporting actor role in Green Book?
Yeah, because the first 20 minutes or so of the movie we're meeting the Viggo Mortensen character. Who's working at a New York nightclub in the 60s.
So
we meet his family. We've learned his situation. Then he gets a call. Hey, got a gig for you. You can drive this famous musician around town. That's when we meet Mahershala Ali's character. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically a co-starring role. But if you position him as a supporting actor, it's a good move. I'm still stunned that Star is Born only won for the song. The song's going to win. For best original song, for sure.
Right, Shallow.
But it is a little bit of a momentum.
Could you play Shallow for me so I can cry on the air? Because I'm sick and tired of playing the Spanish language version of the Cody Parkey miss from the. Have you heard this yet, Richard?
Yes,
the Spanish language.
It's fantastic. Awesome.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe you'll make the John Oliver show again.
Maybe you could. Yeah. Thank you.
Here he is.
But
la temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Oh. No, señor. Los Higos se van con la victoria. ¡Ay, papá! Chicago. Nos vamos para New Orleans. Filadelfia gana el partido. Le dio el poste.
Someone's That's got to set great. That audio to the last scene in Scarface when Tony Montana's taking everybody on.
Come and meet my little goalpost. Yeah. All right. So, so you don't think that there are going to be a lot of Oscar repeats here in terms of what the Golden Globes did?
I don't think so. I will say that it as we've been talking about, there's no clear-cut favorite for the Academy Awards this year. There's, you know, five or six pictures. Don't discount Black Panther winning Best Picture. Don't discount, you know, some of these other actors. Lady Gaga still has a chance. You know, Glenn Close won for The Wife. Glenn Close has, I think, seven Oscar nominations and has never won, so it might just be her year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do that a lot with Academy favorites. So you look at stuff like that. But right now, there's still a lot of kind of wide-open things. You know, Green Book will get nominated, won't win. Emily Blunt, I think, will get nominated.
Black Panther wins for Best Picture.
I think that's a real shot because of the fact that there's going to be eight nominated pictures, and it's going to be a really mixed bag.
Yeah.
And, you know, as always, Hollywood, you know,
Hollywood always vote for a Hollywood story like A Star Is Born?
They love A Star Is Born, but they also love the big box office. And, you know, the last time the huge box office champion won Best Picture was Titanic. That's 21 years ago. So I think they'd love to, you know, celebrate that. And you've got to remember something, too. About 15% of the Academy is brand new members this year. And it's almost all individuals of color, women, and younger voters. So you can't discount the voting power there because you don't have to vote when you're in the Academy. You know, it could be that Dick Van Dyke is taking a nap the day you're supposed to vote. I mean, Dick Van Dyke is not the oldest member of the Academy at 93. Let's put it that way, okay?
How great was he last night, though, for those
fantastic
who watched the Golden Globes? He was, not only was he sharp, he was funny, and he had that Dick Van Dyke sort of draws you in almost like he's, you know, he's the guy when he arrives at the door, everybody lights up in
magical
the room. He lights a room, and he lights the camera, and you're like, even in your living room, he was able to always light
absolutely
it up. And he did it again
right
at 93. It was such a beautiful moment. I mean, of the sheer suckiness of that show last night.
And it really was.
It was not a good show. I tend to like that award show because it's so wacky and everybody's drinking. The only redeeming moment.
Yeah.
I mean, and I love Jeff Bridges. And I was so happy that he got that Lifetime Achievement Award. But even that moment sucked. But
I liked the Jeff Bridges moment. Carol Burnett was awesome, who looks exactly the same as she did when we were all kids watching her on Saturday night.
Right.
Which is amazing, too,
yes,
right?
And Dick Van Dyke, amazing.
But that's true.
Between the two of them, 175 years old between those two. And then if you throw Bridges in, you're over 200.
Here we go.
Right? And those are the only people that actually brought it.
The fact Michael Douglas can still thank his dad.
Isn't that amazing? Well, then I like
my dad.
Sandra Oh thanking her parents was a highlight
for
me.
That was cool.
I thought that was very sweet.
That was true.
That made it for me, but you're right. Not very interesting.
All right. Well, we wish everybody. We wish Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga the best at the Oscars because I think they were ripped off.
I think a lot of people
had that nice
that
white tux on and everything.
Yeah, they looked great. And she stole the show, and her hair was matching that awesome gown she was wearing. It was so cool.
I thought for sure that Bradley Cooper is just auditioning to be the next Colonel Sanders.
Oh,
that's all I could think of there.
The black shoes clash with the white tux.
Yeah, it did look a little like he was going to show us to our table.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Sands. It's 1963.
Let's now check in. Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, President Trump could be closer to another summit with Kim Jong-un.
When it comes to the weather, we all want to know, what did Skilling say? Watch for updated forecasts from Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, our friend Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN-TV.
Kim Gordon standing by with the WGN News, brought to you by VictoryAutoWreckers.com. Kim.
La temporada está en el pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. No, señor. Los Eagles se van con la victoria. Chicago.
Oh, this is the worst part.
Philadelphia gana el partido. Le dio al poste.
Okay. All right.
Greatest thing ever.
Okay.
Denver Post reporting that Broncos head coach search committee just took off from the Chicago area, leaving John Elway behind to have a little dinner with the Vic Fangio.
Oh, I thought they just left.
No, he didn't get left on the tarmac. He got left at Gibson's. Well, we can't confirm that, but they are having dinner.
Yeah. Well, we got to find out where they're having. Maybe they're having dinner at Gibson's Italian. No matter what, I'm calling every one of the Gibson's restaurants and, and paging him.
Get David Flom on the phone. It may be a Chicago cut.
Might be a Chicago cut. What do you think? Maybe Harry Carey's? No.
I think he's taking him up to the North Burbs by his home.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it rolling. Yeah, he's got some spots up there he likes.
Yeah.
Just have to climb through all the names that have been dropped on the floor here in the last 30 seconds.
Richard Roper.
Happy New Year.
Just trying to get a good table next time Ro shows up.
Exactly.
My my guy who other than OB, I respect the most in the Bears world throughout history, Sweet Lou Kanellis is here. Your reaction, sir?
I'm devastated. I'm not going to lie, man. I am devastated. You know what? I've been doing this, been in this business for 30 plus years, and I can honestly tell you that post-game show I did on Fox last night was the hardest show I've ever done in my life. And that's what I get for being such a Bears fan. To turn it on and suddenly ignore what had just happened 60 seconds before was so incredibly difficult. I was so bummed. I wasn't even I wasn't upset. I wasn't, you know, cussing. I was just devastated because I could not believe it happened. Because you anticipated it happening all week. Yeah. And then it happened. It came to fruition. And I sat there. We were on set. Myself, Jim Miller, Corey Wooten, Anthony Heron, waiting for it to go through the uprights. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as the game ends, guys, we go on Channel 32. And it didn't happen. And we still went on, and I still had to be on, as they say in the business, and somehow explain to people what in the heck just happened, and I had no answer.
Well, there's no way to explain that. Does Cody Parkey return to the Chicago Bears?
I think it's impossible. I mean, I really do. I think it's impossible. If it had been one miss, that's one thing, but he missed 11. I mean, he missed 8 field goals and then the, what, 3 extra points during the season. I mean, obviously it was a problem. They had a lot of money vested in him. $15 million contract, 4-year deal, $9 million guaranteed. That's tough to walk away from because what you do is you slot money towards positions. Mm-hmm. When you commit that kind of dollars to the kicking position, hey, even if he struggles, you believe that he's going to turn it around. Please turn it around. Please turn it around. Mm-hmm. It never happened. So I think you have to move on, Ro. I know that his players got in front of the cameras yesterday and today, and they talked about being a great teammate, and they said all the right things. But deep down, those guys work so hard to play in L.A. next week. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to bring the guy back after what happened.
And I think it's best for him, too, not just for the team, right? If he's going to, you know, kick, have a fresh start somewhere. I mean, if you're Cody Parkey, I mean, I can understand he'd want to go back and, you know, have this amazing year, but I think it's best for all.
Involved. Rich, there are kickers in the league that have gone through what he went through yesterday and never rebounded.
Yeah.
Yeah. He didn't lose it. The team did, is what they've been talking about today. That it seems people just not. Oh. Don't hang it all on him. Is there any truth to that?
No, I mean, he missed the field goal. He's paid to he's paid to hit that field goal
mistakes
from 43
earlier,
yards
things
out.
Like that.
Yeah, I mean, there are mistakes throughout the football game, but he is paid to kick that field goal from 43 yards out with the game on a line.
Absolutely.
And they spent an awful lot of money on him. He wasn't a rookie. It wasn't like they found him off the scrap heap and that, you know, they needed him at the end and hell, you know, he made the first three big deal. No. That's what he's paid big money to do. And he didn't do it.
Vic Fangio coming back next year?
Wow, that's a great question. I'm a little worried, but let me say this about Vic. Vic's 60 years old, fourth time he's interviewed to be a head coach. First time back in 97 with the San Diego Chargers, 2015 with the Niners, last year with the Bears, and now tonight with the Broncos. Met earlier today with the committee that the Broncos have put together, sticking around with John Elway now to have dinner. I'm not so sure that Vic's kind of like, listen, if it works, great. If not, I'm happy. I think he loves his job. He loves his players. He is incredibly loyal to his assistants who are with him here in Chicago. He is smart enough. He's been in the league long enough, 30 plus years, to know that the arrow is heading up in a big way with this organization. And his first job was as a linebackers coach back in 1986 with the New Orleans Saints when Jim Finks.
Oh, wow.
Was general manager, and Jim Finks told him, if you ever have the opportunity to coach in Chicago, it's the greatest place in the world to be a football coach with the organization.
Jim Finks, for those too young to remember on this show, which is everybody, was the essentially the general manager who created...
The architect.
The architect of the 85 Bears. Or the 80s Bears that were so dominant.
Yeah.
And Eddie Lou makes a lot of great points too, just from a a lifestyle. There's certain types like a John Gruden can't wait to get back in front of the spotlight and take command. And then you look what happened with the Raiders. Okay, they got him for 10 years. And you go to Denver, that's a team that's got a long way to go. You're the head coach. What if you start off 0-7? Now all of a sudden you're on the hot seat. Nobody's ever going to call for him to be let go as the defensive coordinator of the Chicago Bears. Next year, he could be part of the one of the greatest defensive teams in history, and a team, as you mentioned, has got a legit chance to win a Super Bowl.
That team, if they stay healthy, and that's the thing, we're in a window here where they had a lot of balls bounced the right way for the Bears this year in terms of injuries. Right, you've had a lot of teams have all kinds of problems,
and 36 takeaways is almost impossible to repeat.
Almost, but. You do have the core is coming back. That core of the defense is coming back. You could actually improve on that defense in some way in the offseason.
Which is scary.
Yeah, I know. Think about that.
I mean, think about that. Khalil Mack had no training camp with this team.
Yeah. Right. I know. As long as everybody and health, you never know. You never know about injuries. I think you need a backup quarterback. I think you're going to need a legit backup threat. And there are some that are going to be coming available here. Some guys that you might want to get a guy at the end of his career that's going to come in, can give still be able to play and be a good mentor to Trubisky because he still needs it.
I think Daniel's that right now, though, don't you think? And he's still under contract for another year. He won him a game filling in.
Yeah.
Not a Chase Daniel guy.
I agree with Kevin, bro. I think that they're comfortable with Chase because he understands the system. And listen, if any team out there lost its starting quarterback, guess what? They're in trouble. Right. So if the Bears lose Mitch Trubisky.
Except for the Eagles.
That's the Eagles, yeah.
Good point.
Carson Wentz goes down.
Rat bleeps.
Good point. I don't think quarterback is their biggest concern. I think defensive secondary will be. Mm. Bryce Callahan, who's their nickelback in their defense, he's a free agent. Mm. Adrian Amos is a free agent. Bobby Massey on the offensive line is a free agent. Pat O'Donnell.
He'll be the
punter.
Do you think, Lou, there's a kid, maybe even a kicker that they'll pick maybe in the third or fourth round?
Absolutely.
Is there a superstar? There's always a couple of kids in college.
Right, they don't go in the first two rounds.
Yeah, we're going to see a parade of kickers coming through town.
Yeah. and they have that luxury because they don't have a lot of holes. They can, buy a little bit early in the draft because you don't have glaring needs.
Oh, my God. Isn't that unbelievable to say?
I know. Yeah.
That you don't have a bunch of holes on this team?
They don't.
I mean, it is a great moment and it's like almost like instant. It's like we poured it out of a packet into a glass of water because this team 2 years ago sucked at such an amazing – actually, for the last 8 years – it has been as dark a moment as, and Lou and I will remember this, and Rich will remember this, in the early 1970s, when you had teams that were going, remember it was 14-game seasons, right? So it was 4-10, right? Or whatever it was.
And then they always Gibber and Jack Purdy.
Yeah,
and
they'd lose the coin flip to get the first-round pick so they wouldn't get Mean Joe Green or Terry Bradshaw.
Right, exactly.
They'd be like, oh, we'll show you. We got Gary Huff.
Exactly. And so we lived through the. I mean, as little children, we lived through that era, I was reliving it here. And all of a sudden, boom, it happens. And you have real talent. You have this thing, and to lose it on a kicker. Oh my God!
Terrible.
I cannot believe I'm not sworn on this show today. I'm out of practice. I've been off for 2 weeks. I just knew. The only thing I said to myself was, Ro, please don't drop the F-bomb accidentally here. Because I've been just saying it for the last 12 hours.
But didn't he also make a lot of kicks in this game?
He made three. But the one that he needed to make
most,
he missed. And you know what? Here's my greatest worry, guys. Because everyone's like, next year. Number one, I agree with Matt Nagy. He told his team he wanted it to hurt. Mm. He wants them to feel this. And it reminds me of what the Bulls went through when they needed to get through the Detroit Pistons to get to six championships.
Yeah, that's true.
With the Blackhawks, the pain they went through to get through the Red Wings to three Stanley Cup titles. The Cubs getting through the Cardinals and then the Mets in the NLCS before they won a World Series. So I believe, 1984, the Bears, before they won their Super Bowl.
I mentioned this earlier, San Francisco. I just want this not to be a situation like we had after the Super Bowl year where the Bears went out in the first round. Was it 3 years in a row, right, to Washington? And were the Eagles one of those?
San Francisco,
yeah. But didn't they lose to San Francisco in 84 before they went in 85?
Didn't they lose? I thought they lost to Washington in 84, didn't they?
We will look all that up because there is an internet now. But the fact is that they did have that moment that it stung with them, and then they came out like gangbusters, and they almost went 16-0, right? Saved Miami.
You can just never predict the future. And I don't know if it was you, Kevin, or I know you do, Ro, but you know they were incredibly healthy. I think three players ended up on injured reserve this year.
And think of what they were the past few years, where they were the most injured team in all of football.
And you look at some other teams, and you hate to see it go this way, but I mentioned Oakland, Jacksonville, teams that were within one game of getting to the Super Bowl.
Minnesota.
And then all of a sudden they're back in mediocrity. You know, it can happen fast. I don't think it happens with this team. There's too much talent.
Lou, what did you see from Mitch? Because I thought in the first half he looked shaky, but with Mitch, and I've been saying this all year, it never really feels like you're completely out of it because of his playmaking ability, whether he's running the ball or whether he's making big throws. He made big-time throws yesterday late in that game. Early on, shaky. I thought in the second half he looked pretty good.
Man, I thought he was great in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, if
that's
he kicks,
good quarterbacks
he's got the right stuff.
The
you can see that. Okay, yeah. That's a leader.
That is an Ohio kid who's got, you know what, and he went out there and balled in that fourth quarter.
He did.
Those three passes to Taylor Gabriel, Josh Bellamy, Allen Robinson on that drive that put him up 15-10, and then that pass to Allen Robinson that put him in position for the field goal was just a thing of beauty. And that's the great thing about Mitch Trubisky. Think about when we first started the show.
Don't say field goal. Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, think about the beginning of the season, bro, how we would sit here and talk about Mitch Trubisky and those first five, six games. He was a deer in headlights. Yeah. He had happy feet back there in the pocket. And you kept thinking, okay, he's going to get it. He's going to get it. He got it.
Yeah. Well, here's pretty quickly.
Here's in year three where the thing he's going to have to learn is to hit a guy actually in stride because he has not yet mastered that. He's hitting guys who are having to stop to get the ball. I get it. And you know, you saw it yesterday. You saw it in that final drive for the attempted field goal. But that if he does that, if he starts to hit guys in stride, you are going to
see
a totally
different level.
That's going to be the difference maker. Does Jordan Howard stay with this team?
Wow, I think they can't afford to lose him. I mean, he just gives them an element that they don't have on the roster right now. And can they draft a running back in the fourth or fifth round and maybe catch lightning again like they did with Howard in late rounds? Maybe. But why? Why get rid of Jordan right now?
He's a weapon.
Blackhawks are 6 points out of the playoffs right now, and they're coming away next on WGN. I am now going to triple down on the Blackhawks.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's what we should do.
That's what I'm going to do.
We'll be there Wednesday, by the way, at the United Center.
Yes, we'll be there at the United Center on Wednesday. That is correct. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Anna, for reminding me. I look forward
just
to that.
Keep everything straight.
I just want to keep it. I got to root for something. Mm-hmm. I think the Bulls are kind of a lost cause, if I'm not mistaken. and I think that the...
Pick the White Sox at 50-1 to win it all. That's what I'm saying.
Manny Machado, baby.
Manny Machado.
The White Sox could be the story of the summer here,
which
is going to be really interesting. And the other story is that the Cubs, if the Cubs can't turn this thing around, and then that I'm just trying to get us to August because I'm very excited about all this starting again. And I disagree with OB. I am all for sitting everybody in the preseason. Come in to the regular season healthy. That was a very important decision. Very conscious decision by Matt Nagy. Everybody questioned it. I even questioned it, and I was wrong. I admit it. He did the right thing there. Thank you, and good night.
Good point.
All right. Violetta, get us home!